Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this meeting that is very important. The meetings that we are having during this period are very important because we are looking at how we are performing and we are assessing ourselves so that we are able to do the right thing. And wherever we feel that we're not performing well, we see how we work going forward. And we have had, as the Portfolio Committee, an interaction with the Auditor General. And the department was present yesterday when the Auditor General gave us their findings. And we always say that if you get a qualified report, the confidence of the people that you are serving is affected. They will not have confidence in you because people don't understand this term. And this is why in one chairperson's meeting we asked that the Auditor General demystify the term, so that people can actually understand when you're saying we have received a qualified audit. Umama unohombile pha eKwaGqumasha. Kulali zasedikeni ezo ke kwaGqumasha. I should understand what it is when a department has received a qualified audit opinion. Because once the AG says you have received a qualified audit opinion, the only thing that comes to people's minds is that you've just chowed the money. And it means then that as long as people do not understand, we need to try to get unqualified audits. Because the impression there is that we are chowing the money because we are getting qualified audits. So it's very important. But this is the opportunity for us to just pause a while and look back and just look at how we have been doing things and what we are going to do going forward. I welcome you to this meeting, and you know that we had visited the Market Theatre, we had visited Sunduzi. Those are two entities that we actually visited, and we had first-hand information, because when we visit an institution, we speak to everybody. We don't want to speak to one arm of the institution. We want to hear from everybody, and this is actually what we did. And there are issues that we raised, and we hope that when, as the Portfolio Committee, we raise issues in any institution, people look and heed the advice of the committee. Ours is a constitutional mandate, and we have an obligation to do the best that we can to ensure that you account. The department and its entities has to account. That's what the Constitution says. And the manner, the working relations between the council or the board and the management should be at the level of working together for the good of the constituency that you are serving. Because in some instances, acting DG, it's really very bad, where a council would work towards this way and the management would work toward, and it's very, very bad. And I think there are issues that These are issues that we need to look into and understand that when we come to offer ourselves as council members, because council members are those people that give of themselves, because they are not being paid. They have other jobs that they are doing, but they just come in to assist because they are patriotic. They love their country. They want the country to succeed. So they come in to assist. And management should take their job seriously. When they interact with the council, the results thereof should be progress, not and nothing else. This is not about any of us sitting around the table. This is what I always say. But it's about the people that we are serving. So, and looking at the Constitution and at the acts that are there to guide us, we need to do everything by the book so that we are not found wanting. I would like to welcome you and urge you, as we usually do, that you this is not a guillotine. You've not come here to be guillotined. We're just here to account. We ask questions, and sometimes very difficult questions. It's not because we have anything against you, but we want you to do the things that you are so supposed to do in the right manner, you know, in line with the prescripts, in line with the Constitution, and in line with the acts that are in place. So don't take anything personally. Don't do that. Because, as Dr. Kiso said earlier, sometimes we become very agitated. Not because we like it, but because we want you to do what you are supposed to do. You want you to discharge your mandate. We become very agitated, and we know that that's not good, but it's because of the manner in which you are presenting sometimes. And as you are sitting here, we know a lot about you, and some of the questions that we are asking, we are like teachers. We ask what we know, and we know what the answer is. We ask you a question, we know the answer, we just want to know if you know. So it's just like that. So that was in the way of welcoming you. We have an agenda in front of us, and I'm going to ask Joni if there are any apologies.
Yes, Chair, we've got three apologies. Honorable Esther will not be attending due to family responsibility. Mr. Rabotape and Honorable Mokhotsi, she's been hospital.
Honorable members, those are the apologies. And are we accepting them? And there's also an apology for Honorable Zuledi. She's in the Portfolio Committee on Social Development, but after that meeting, in fact, before it comes to an end, she'll join us because there is something important that they are discussing there. She'll join us immediately they are done with the issues. Do we accept the apologies, Honorable Members?
Chair, I recommend that we accept.
Honorable Mahlangu is moving. And the motion is seconded. Thank you very much. We have in front of us the agenda. And as we usually do, we would like to have introductions at the beginning to refresh our memories and to see if there are any people that are new that we have not met, and those people must know who we are, and we must know who they are. and we will have introductions, and we will have a briefing from Msunduzi first before the Market Theatre, because the Market Theatre is from Gauteng. It's from, they have as many flights as you can count, so they don't have a pressure of flights. But from the Eastern Cape, we have only two. From KwaZulu-Natal, we have only two. So we are going to give the rural area a priority. So Market Theatre, you'll give the briefing later, and we will now give an opportunity to Msunduzi. But as I said, is that in order, Honourable Members?
Yes, sir, but I also recommend that we don't deal with item 2 and 3. Actually, I request, if colleagues agree, that we defer item 2 to another meeting, because I don't think these minutes are not written in the style at which we're writing them. We had it was written during that strike area, and I think they are badly crafted. So until such time that we've done them in our own style, that we can only bring them back here. And we can deal with item 3 once we've dealt with the main items.
That has been proposed and it has been seconded. So we will deal with item 2 in our next meeting, but we will do the consideration of and adoption of the fourth term committee program at the end, after we've had the presentation. And as I said earlier, bear in mind that the information that you're going to give us is something that we know. We've been briefed by the Auditor General about your performance, but which then means that you just have to highlight to us those areas that need our attention. But as the Portfolio Committee, we will ask even outside what you have presented, because there are a number of issues that we would like you to clear. I'm Goli Sotom, the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Arts and Culture in the National Assembly.
My name is Jabu Mahlangu, member of the committee.
Khensani Bilangulu, member of the committee.
I'm Thomas Makondo, member of the committee.
Alan Grootboom, member of the committee.
Lebane Muteka, member of the committee.
Makoto Matala, CFO Arts and Culture.
Morning, my name is Lula Mandabangulu from the Office of the DG at Arts and Culture.
Good morning, my name is Rafi Wamdao, I'm from Ministry of Arts and Culture.
Good morning, I'm Tenji Okumalo from Sunduzi Museum.
Melele Ngubane from Sunduzi Museum.
When you're saying from Msunduzi Museum, tell us what you are actually doing there, your position.
I'm actually the head of the Department of Finance in the Finance and Administration Department.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Ndungis Ngubane. I'm from Msunduzi Museum. I'm the director of the institution.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Tami Kopela. I'm a council member.
Morning, honorable members. Rob Late, I'm Msunduzi Museum, deputy director.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Vusitemba Ndima. I'm the acting director general in the Department of Arts and Culture.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Sakiwo Kiso. I'm with the Department of Arts and Culture, monitoring and evaluation and governance.
Thank you very much. We will have introductions from the people who are coming in later, because we don't have much time. Time is money. But I would like to bring to your attention section 49 of the PFMA. Every public entity must have an authority which must be accountable for the purpose of the Act. If the public entity has a board or other controlling body, that board or controlling body is the accounting authority for that entity. This is something that we said yesterday, if you remember, Mr. Nzima, that we were not happy with the Nelson Mandela Museum Council when we went on an oversight visit to their institution, because the council or the board is the accounting authority. When we go into an institution, those are the people that we want to meet. Those are the people that have to account to us on the money that they have been given by the department. And if you have only one person accounting, and as the portfolio committee, we have a serious problem. So we want to make it clear and put it on record that the Department of Arts and Culture must ensure that the boards and councils understand that they are the accounting authority. I will give over to you, Ms. Ndima, to the department, just to give us a brief on Sunduzi, as you are aware that the AG has given us most of the information, but you'll highlight those areas that you feel you need to.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members of the committee, council members of various of the two institutions that are present here today, as well as the executive management of those institutions, colleagues in the Department of Arts and Culture. My role here is just going to be just doing an overview of the Msunduzi Museum, just providing a background of the nature of the institution that we're talking about here. Msunduzi Ngome Museum is a Schedule 3A public entity. It was established in terms of the Cultural Institutions Act, 1998. It receives institutional transfers from the department to finance its operations and address its infrastructural needs. In terms of Minister's key priorities, the entity attempted to respond to the Minister's key priorities in the following programs, more particularly when it comes to issues of social cohesion and nation building. It hosted a two-day Courageous Conversations conference, which was themed Unity in Diversity, which was held in Ngome Museum between the 5th and 6th of November 2015. In partnership with the KwaZulu-Natal Museum, the institution organized living heritage events to promote nation building and social cohesion. This included the Mandela Day event on the 18th of July 2015. It also provided library services 736 users in Msunduzi and 153 in Ngome Museum, including library events in 2015-2016. Challenges relating to the annual report: the entity has received a qualified audit opinion based on the valuation or measurement of its heritage assets. The Auditor General could not accept the exemption that was granted to all DAC entities due to the fact that it overlooked the FEB presentation assertion that is the foundation of the presentation of annual financial statements as per Graph 103. The DAC would follow up on the resolution of the audit findings during the quarterly visits due to ensure that there is no recurrence of these. That's the annual performance. The pie chart demonstrates how the institution has performed in terms of its key performance indicators. as you can see, that as per the annual report for 2015-2016 financial year, the entity had 36 planned key performance indicators, and they achieved 35 of these KPIs, which is equivalent to 97%. And one KPI, which is equivalent to 3%, was partially achieved due to technical and design issues. If you look at the three-year performance overview, Chairperson and honorable members can see that 2013-2014, they achieved 72, 14-15, 87%, 15-16, 97%. The slide now shows the income and expenditure trends over 3 years, what it's been receiving from the Department of Arts and Culture as the form of income. 2013-14, it was 11 million. 14-15, 11.9. 15-16, 13.3. And then also, this also shows how the institution also generates its own income. And the figures are actually stated below the figures that I've been talking to. But I think what is important to note is that own income is composed of curo, shop sales, its donations, received entrance fees, income from investments, insurance claims, internet income, other income, parking income, relocation, recoveries, and rent receipts. As we have already indicated, Chairperson and honorable members, if you look at 2013-14, it was qualified 2014-15, qualified in 2015-2016, qualified. And the governance matters, this talks to the number of council members. I wouldn't want to spend a lot of time here, Chairperson, but it shows that we have got 8 council members. In fact, even 2015-2016, I would like to just focus on 2015-2016 because we are reporting on that. They had 8 council members, meetings that they held. 4 meetings, the committee meetings of the council, 4, attendance rate of council meetings, 65%, number of audit committee meetings, 4, number of management meetings, 3, number of staff meetings, 3. Challenges and interventions, just want to say here, Chairperson, honorable members, that with the construction of Norman, the museum is faced with extra operational responsibilities which are not funded separately. The intervention here by DAC is that the DAC has forwarded the request to National Treasury to consider increasing the current subsidy. Also, as part of the challenge, the cost of maintaining the reconciliation bridge between Ngome and Blood River Monument is not budgeted for by both institutions, and I'm sure that the Chairperson and other members are aware of this particular matter because you even intervened to persuade us to work together in trying to resolve this matter. So what has happened is that the DAC has allocated funding for the maintenance of the bridge between the two entities. But also what we have done, Chairperson, because we are dealing with two issues here, is the reconciliation bridge between Ngome and Black River, and the reconciliation road between the Fort Reke Monument and Freedom Park. We've been written to Treasury requesting the increase in the allocation of these institutions so that they will be able to pay for the maintenance of these structures that we're talking about. I would like to stop there, Chairperson and honorable members.
Thank you very much, SMPG. We will now give an opportunity to the Sunduzi Museum to their presentation.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members, and everyone else. From Sunduzi Museum, I'm extending an apology from Professor Lekhwati. We do take our responsibility serious, Chairperson. Professor works at Wits University, and he was booked to come here, and due to what is happening there, he could not. He sent his sincere apologies. And we could not get other members also due to short period of his apology. And we sincerely apologize that it's only one person who is here. On Msunduzi, I'm sure the director will take us through the presentation. But just from the high level, Chair, as council members, when we came on board, we do have that objective and an understanding that we want to achieve an unqualified audit outcome. That is very clear. And the numbers are there to show the progress that has been taken place to date. What I want to bring to the attention of the committee is the challenges, the constraints, and I'm happy that the acting DG is doing something about that. From our side as council, we would want a situation where we have the position of a CFO that is there to be funded, then it can support some of most of this audit funding. You discover that it has to do with some of the finance-related compliance. And the director, we want to see him focusing on the strategic role of the institution. And I'm sure the director will also touch on the reconciliation bridge. From the last time we were here, we have made some progress, Chairperson, and it is promising. There is a working relationship. And I want to hand it over to the director to take us through. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair and honourable members. I'd like to greet you all. I am going to ask our Deputy Director to do a presentation, but the majority of items that we have prepared for this presentation have already been addressed in the presentation that was done by our Acting Deputy Director General. But we are going to do them. With regard to the issue, remember the members of the Portfolio Committee visited Ngome site late last year, and there was a big talk on the issue of the bridge, such that we were called in here to explain the progress. I would like to thank our department for the intervention that they've done to ensure that the bridge is open. We are expecting to have that bridge open late this month or in November, because the Blood River people are expected to construct the guardhouse and appoint a security. This is the only thing that is outstanding in terms of the bridge being reopened. So we're expecting that they do that, as the acting DG in his presentation has alluded that they've been given the fund to fund that project. Thank you, Chair. I will now hand over to Mr. Late to give us a report. Thank you.
Honourable Chairperson, honourable members, thank you very much again for having us with you today. I'm going to just go through the presentation, which has got a number of slides which I think are really sort of have been touched on already, so I'll be very brief with those, and some of those I probably won't even deal with at all, because obviously they are not the highlights really of what we are discussing today. So if we could just move maybe through the mandate and vision, mission and goals, which I think we're all aware of, through the strategic outcome oriented goals to our organogram. And our organogram comprises obviously a single organogram which deals with both the Ngome Museum and Mzimbuzi Museum. And there are two posts in particular on that organogram, that of the Deputy Director at the Ngome Museum and the Deputy Director, CFO, Finance and Administration, which were really relevant here in our discussion today because of our audit findings. And so we would have filled those if we had had the funding for that, but they've remained vacant because of that issue. So that is just so that one understands that I think we've got 40 funded posts at the moment of a total establishment of about 60 posts. So if then we could move on, we have our governance structure, which we've obviously, you're well aware of, and that has already been talked to. And then we have our various departments, which consists of administration, and then our key core functions departments, one of which is education department, which we have a head of department here with us, and the other one is research, information, and collections. The conference that was mentioned also by the acting DG is really the highlight of our year's events, I suppose, if one can look at it that way. And it was tailored really to deal with the very pertinent issue of heritage sites and memorials and monuments that we were facing, obviously, last year in particular. So the title, the full title there was Courageous Conversations Conference, titled Unity and Diversity, Heritage Sites and Memorials, Reconciliation and Nation Building. And so that was at Ngome, and you'll see from the slide there, the hall was really well full and attended, and I think it was a productive conference and very beneficial. One of the activities of our research department is also to collect and preserve the collections, and so we collected, as some of the objects last year, those pots from a local artist in Peter Maritzburg, Jabulani, as well as wire baskets. We also did some research for exhibitions and publications, and the focus of the research there was on Umzinyathi district and the African Zionist Christian churches. In our exhibitions department, the Road to Democracy exhibition was completed and opened. Dr. William Keyes was the speaker at that event, and you can see there the opening photographs. And it was a very well attended event, and so that was really the focus of that. Temporary exhibitions included a quilt exhibition and a cartoon exhibition. The cartoon exhibition was really hosted in conjunction with TAXA. And so as a sort of a local Peter Maritzburg festival, we were well involved in that. The education and outreach activities included the national international days at both sites, and that's why the 17th, and the Mandela Day that you heard about. Presentations were also done to visiting schools. Those are the educational presentations. Presentations then were done to schools, at schools, to really encourage them to attend the museum. And we had a passport competition to also incentivize school visits. The skills development workshops, which are hosted, skills and craft development workshops, they're hosted both at Ngome and at Mzimduzi. And at Mzimduzi in particular, what is interesting there is I think we've got about 14 or 15 key women who attend the workshops, and then they go back to their groups, so they're actually spreading the ball wider, if I can put it that way. And as part of those commemorative days, we had a heritage parade through the streets of Peter Maritzburg last year, which was again repeated this year, in conjunction with the KZN Museum. And there you can see some of the ladies coming through down the street in their beautiful beaded attire. And then the Mandela Day, which was held at the creche in France, you can see us proudly standing there amongst the children. If we can deal with the financial information at the end of the presentation, that would be appreciated, Chairperson, because that will be presented by our Head of Department for Finance and Administration. So just moving through that, the next item really is, I think perhaps what you alluded to as being quite critical, is our audit outcome and the qualified opinion, which has really been highlighted as a result, though, of something which we feel has been rather out of our control, which is the valuation of the collection. And so that really, I think, has been spoken to already, but we really won't go through that any further. But perhaps I can ask you to go to your notes that were circulated. because the notes have got a detailed audit improvement plan as part of the notes. If we went to page 9, that would be page 9 of those notes, you would see that we expect funding from the DAC as part of the process to rectify the valuation problem. And then the next finding was a finding related to quotes not obtained for the services of council travel. However, we did have a service level agreement in place, and the AG did not accept that, but quotes will be obtained in the future. Audit finding 3 on page 10, suppliers in which persons in the service of other institutions, we don't...
Sorry, yes. To your chair, sorry, Mr. Lake, I think the written notes were emailed from members to the transition.
We're trying to look through our pack.
All these pages that
they don't have pages. There's no
page numbers. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
There's an earlier version, an early version, then you, I think, you've got the wrong version.
No, I have 4.
Yeah, so it's fine. You can go through it. You can look at
But I think what's important is that we have asked as the portfolio committee that any document that's going to be discussed here needs to be with us 10 days before. So if you come with a document, indicate that the document that we sent earlier is not the document that we are going to use for this reason. Don't leave it until a point where you have to, you know, to present and tell, and we ask you questions, because sometimes it may not be very friendly when you do that. So you need to tell us from the onset that the document that you sent earlier has changed because of this reason, and so that we understand. We know that sometimes you have to change your mind. What's the point of having a mind if you can't change it? So you know that you change your mind sometimes, thinking that, oh, we should have said this, that, and that. So, but tell us beforehand. Don't let us find out ourselves that the document that you are presenting is not with us or is not the same as the one that we are having. You may carry on as the Honorable Member has said. Honorable Makonde, do you want
to... But Chair, let us not waste time. This is not an annual report. Let us not waste time. Did you check this thing? Because an annual report, it's supposed to tell us things that you said you will do. And after that, did you achieve those things? And what did you not achieve? Because this is just a story. It's not telling us what they achieve and what they did not achieve. I'm not so sure if the information that I have is different from what other people have. There's no difference between this document and the one that is presenting. It's the same. I don't know. I need to be assisted. Maybe there's another document that I should... There's another annual report that I should look into. I have not received the annual report of Msundi, the chair. Maybe that's the problem.
It's there.
Okay. I'll still have to receive that. Yeah.
Something went wrong.
But the presentation is poor, chair.
Okay, let's just allow you to finish your presentation. And I think you've taken notes of what is being said by the Honourable Member.
Thank you very much. then we could just indicate then that we're not trading with anybody who's in the employee of the state and other organizations. And then in terms of our next finding, which was associated with the alignment of the SCM policy and our SOP, we will be aligning that shortly, because the SCM policy was reviewed and that's why the SOP and SCM didn't align. In terms of roles and responsibilities relating to performance information, which were not clearly documented, those will be documented and highlighted, even though we do have a performance information policy in place. Our standing operating procedures for performance information not documented. Likewise, the SOP for performance information will be documented. The key positions that I highlighted when we looked at our organogram, that was finding number 7, which said key positions not filled within 6 months. That's related both to those posts, and we noted that finding, but obviously we can only fill that if we have funds available for that purpose. Our risk register in finding number 8 said the risk register was not including risks related to predetermined objectives. We've attended to that and revised the register. In terms of assets sharing the same code, we have attended to that. And we've also attended to journal entries not reviewed and authorized. Incorrect deduction of medical aid, we've attended to that. And suppliers identified through CIPC with an indication status of dissolved, deregistered, liquidation, and incomplete information. That was really just a finding that was providing us with information, and so we noted that there was no action required. IT findings related primarily to issues around the age of our equipment more than anything else. So for example, the Pastel usernames not required and password via supervisor account, that was related really to system issues. So we couldn't update Pastel as a result without updating the actual server. So we're looking into that and we will attend to that. The inadequate physical security and environmental controls related to things, for example, like air conditioning, sign-off register, things like that, and we will attend to those. And the monitoring of administrator and vendor activities not performed, the AG requested that we have an audit trail for the activities that are performed by the administrator. So when we have our new systems in place, we will be attending to that. In terms of, if we can now then move on to our successes as an institution, we really feel that as an institution we are moving forward, that we are being transformed through both our staff and our exhibitions, and that we have a well-preserved and growing collection, and likewise well-preserved historic building, a committed staff. And as you've heard, the issue around the reconciliation bridge, those problems really have been addressed. We hosted the successful conference that I mentioned, as well as other events. And we did that largely in partnership with other institutions, for example, National Department of Arts and Culture, and the Provincial Department of Arts and Culture, municipalities, and other museums. And we also obtained lotto funding for a mobile museum, which was approved. So that was around about R1 million for that. Then our challenges, really, our main challenge, I would assume, is like yours, the compliance with GRAP, you know, to help us get a good audit. And then the road to Ngome, which the Portfolio Committee mentioned during their visit to Ngome last year, and I think that we have made some interventions by actually speaking to the people concerned with the road, and that is really in their hands more than anything else. Dr. Ngomani might be able to give us more clarity on that if you require. And then our key at the root cause of most of our issues is again the issue of funding. Then that is just really our partnership list of partners, and then how we see our impact in terms of tourism, job creation, and rural development. And so our impact there really has been through the employing of interns, the development workshops that I highlighted, and again with the funding that we've got, we've marketed the museum primarily through Facebook and the newsletter that we now produce on a quarterly basis. Then we have very successful activities like the annual dance festival at Ngome, where prizes are won by local community members. Temporary casual staff are employed, and then we have community support in the form of, for example, the craft markets and acquisitions from communities. The internet cafe at Mzumduzi Museum and the library facilities, which were alluded to by Arts and Culture Department, those were really, I think, also one of the highlights. When you look at our visitor numbers, we've really exceeded our targets there. So that brings my presentation to conclusion. Thank you very much. The finance section, if I can hand over to...
But I think what's important is the issue that was raised earlier. That as the portfolio committee, we don't want an essay. We don't want a story. We want, when you say to us, we are looking into that, how do we monitor that? You know, how do you expect the portfolio committee to monitor you're looking at it? We can't. The information that you provide to the portfolio committee should be information that is going to enable us to do our oversight function. You tell us exactly when you are going to do this looking into, how you are going to do it, so that when we monitor you, we know that you said that this will be done by the end of May 2017, and we are able to say, you said you are going to do this during this period. Have you done it? If you have, well done. If you have not, what were the problems? How can we assist going forward? Because it's not about trashing each other, but it's about making sure that things are done. It's to make sure that we deliver to the people that we are supposed to deliver to. So if you are saying you are not giving us time frame, you are not assisting us. We don't know what to do as the portfolio committee. You are putting us on a spot. So it's important. It's very important for you when you are presenting to us, you tell us exactly what this looking into means. You're going to do 1, 2, and 3, and you're going to do one during this period. You're going to do 2 during this period and 3 that period, and you know, so that when we are able to track the work that you said you're going to do. Because if you, it's a story, we can't track a story. It's impossible for us to do that. So we just want to make you aware. Are you going to present something on the financials? Okay.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I would just like to highlight on our financial performances. Most of the stuff have been highlighted already in the last financial period for the Nsundu Museum. As you can see, we've got three programs in our entity. It's program number one, which is the administration, program number two, which will be the business development, and we have program number three, which is the public engagement. For the last financial year, which is 2016, of which we are concentrating on, if you can see that for program number one, which is administration, when you're comparing our budget vis-a-vis our actual expenditure for the financial year, you will see that there was actually a deficit of 1,550,000. The major contributor to that, I would say, it was actually the valuation that we had to do for our assets in order for us to comply with the GRAB 17 for the other 2014-2015 financial period. So we had to comply with that. As a result, there were a correction of errors, and of course, our expense in depreciation has moved up, and it increased our expenses in goods and services. And another major contributor to that one, of which when we had our auditors around, they actually advised that we had to record some of the expenses that were paid by the Department of Arts and Culture on behalf of us, which is the municipal charges, of which when we were drafted our budget, we never actually projected for that. So as a result, SIGA is actually contributed to that 1.5. So there will be other contributors, but those are the two main ones I would just like to highlight. And then if you move forward to business development, again, you will see that from our compensation of employees, there was a savings of 1.174. I think the director, or I would say the deputy director who was presenting before me, highlighted that we don't currently we don't have the deputy director for Ngome, and that post has been vacant for quite some time, and as a result, that post, it falls under that program, which is the business development. So we had a savings and in that compensation of employees, because the manager was not there, and some of those funds had to be moved, because when the budget was drafted, it was anticipated that maybe the manager will be appointed. But then, looking at our operations and all the things that we are doing, we could see that no, we won't afford. Otherwise, we'll have to decrease some of our operational activities in order for us to afford to appoint the manager for that institution. So as a result, again, you will see that even though it looks like a supply there, but in other program, it will actually be covered by a deficit. And then we've got another one, which is the public engagement. Once again, like I've just highlighted previously, that the conversation course in that one program, it looks like a deficit. But when you come to the public engagement, then there is a deficit, because then in the last financial period, then we had to fill quite a number of posts in that program, which is we had to appoint three offices in that in the education department, which actually is the part of the public engagement. And hence, you will see that it looks like there is a deficit, but then, like I've just mentioned before, it will be covered by that other deficit from the other program, which is the business development. And honorable members, if you move forward, the total by expense items, I would just say that for the last financial year, the total compensation of employees for both the Nsundu Museum, it totals to 9,927,000, as you can see. and for our goods and services it was 5,733,000, and which comes to a total expense of 15,660. But then on our budget we actually budgeted for 14,167, but I have mentioned that the over expenditure, it was due to the elements that I've highlighted earlier on, of which it was the valuation of our assets and which increased our depreciation, and of course the other expenses that we were not aware of, and then we were advised by the Auditor General to record for them, and they were not included in our budget when we drafted our budget initially. Okay, just to give a highlight on our revenue collection in the last financial year, again, most of our funds are received from DAC, but then we do generate some funds by collecting our entrance fees and internet fees, and also the sales that we make from our shop. Altogether, apart from what we have received from the Department of DAC, from the sales and goods that we have managed to actually, I would say, sell in the last financial year, we managed to collect 378,000 in the last financial year. And we were hoping that because in the last previous years, we had our investment income that were lying there and they were generating income in terms of interest. But in the last financial year, one of our investment income, it did not do very well. So as a result, we expected that we would have collected an investment income of 560, but we only managed to collect 139. So in other words, there was a deficit of 421 if you're looking in that row of investment income. So it was actually an impact on our revenue collection as well. So it's something that we could not predict because, I mean, it depends on the market movement and how our assets are performing since we are not actually looking after those funds. But then they are being saved somewhere and the interest, they go up and down. They fluctuate in the long run. So then there was a deficit there in the revenue collection of 1.98. And then in most of the time, in the previous years, because our whatever that we're receiving from DAC, it's not actually enough to cover our expenses. So we've been trying in all these previous years to break even our budget by taking out from our reserves. As you can see in column number 2, from estimated revenue column, there is a row there which says reserves. So when we drafted our budget, we anticipated that maybe we will need 750 from what we got from our reserves to cover to break even our budget for the last financial year. That's 750, but it is not recorded there as the actual collected, but then it's actually going to come from our reserves as to cover the deficit of 1 million at the bottom there, 1,098,000. And then that maybe a highlight again, that 706 of other grants of which I've highlighted earlier on, the municipal charges, we were actually advised that we need to recognize that income, income that was paid by the Department of DAC for our municipal charges. So as a result, we had to recognize and disclose that 706. All in all, it was 706 for the last financial year of 2015-2016. Okay, it's just a summary of all the payments by sub programs for administration. That is what we have paid. We have expense for our administration program. It's 9,245,000. And then for our public engagement, it's 3,582,000, and so is business development, 283,000. So all in all, it was a total expenditure for the last financial year of 15,660,000, which is far more than what we had budgeted for, of which the deficit, like I've just said, it would be covered by the reserves that I mentioned earlier on. And of course, bearing in mind that the depreciation is a non-cash item, so we are also taking that into consideration. The total expenditure and depreciation, it amounted to about 900,000 for the last financial year, only for the depreciation expenditure. Okay, Honorable Chair, Honorable members, that will be the end of my presentation as far as the financial report is concerned.
Thank you very much. I think the first comment that is something that I said earlier, of having repeatedly a qualified audit. This is totally, totally unacceptable. Repeatedly. And whilst you were saying this is what you are going to do, it's not time frame. We don't know what's going to happen during this financial year. As the portfolio committee, we're not sure what is going to happen. Nothing is putting our minds at ease that this financial year you're going to get an unqualified audit. We know GRAP 103 is a problem, and this is what we discussed yesterday with the Auditor General, AG's office, and the department. And if that was your only problem, then we would say it's being taken. We are trying to take care of that problem. But there are other issues, yes. And I'm not sure whether I heard correctly when it was said you don't have a chief financial officer. And I would like to hear from you why you have not employed a chief financial officer. Because in any institution that deals with money, the CFO is a priority post. If you talk about a priority post, that is a priority post. I wonder why you have not prioritized it. And I think I will give members an opportunity to ask questions. But I think the manner in which you do things, like you would, in government and in entities, you don't have savings. You have under expenditure in an area. You never say we have savings. Because you have budgeted for this, and it means you have not spent the money. So you have not saved. You are not here to save. You are here to deliver services. So the term saving is not acceptable in government and entities. It is not acceptable. We don't save. At home, you may be able to say, I've saved because I have not bought shoes for so-and-so. But here, if you have budgeted to have a certain person employed and you don't employ that person, you have not saved anything, because that has implications. And we want you to tell us the implication of not employing that person and underspending on one point something million. And it's like you are, the manner in which you are operating is like you're in a spaza shop where you actually say, okay, I won't buy tea bags this week. I'll buy sugar. And you can't operate like that. You can't. This is an institution that is important. An institution that has to work according to the laws of the country. You can't sleep one day and say, Aman, we can't employ this person because we have 1, 2, and 3 to take care of. You need, when you are budgeting, you need to apply your mind. Whip off the committee. I usually say, officials, they like ukugqithisa umntana kunina. Just, uyabuza into leyo, yigqithisa amaxhosa ke thina ukugqithisa umntana kunina siyayazi. You just do it for the sake of doing it. Without even applying your mind that, okay, if we don't do this, what are the implications? You know? So, what's the best way of doing it? You don't, you apply your mind. You think of the consequences. You think of the implications of not having the person that you said you are going to employ. Because you don't just wake up one day and say we are going to employ a director in whatever. There is a need. If you don't operate according to the need, then I don't know what you are operating under. I will give an opportunity to the honorable members to ask questions and make comments. Honorable Makondo, let us start from Honorable Mukate and then down, go down. Thanks. In that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll start by saying on the slides of the improvements year by year, there have been consistency of improvement there. I think they must keep it like that and then till they reach 100%. And again, I mean the audit results of the Auditor General, they remain steady. They are not moving. It's just qualified for the past 3 years. It can't be accepted like that. So the question that comes to my mind is: are the findings recurring? What is happening, or is different things every year? Because if there are things that are recurring there, then it's a problem. Because it will mean you are not learning from the past. So let us be clarified on that one. And again, 60% attendance to the meetings of the council can't be accepted. It's almost half. What are you doing about it? What are you doing about it? Just imagine in the portfolio committee if every time 50% or 60% is in and the other part is not there. Obviously it's going to disturb the business of that meeting. I also have a concern on this one of business development, where the money is there, but no one is employed. And the main person that has to deal with financials is not employed. Question is why and for how long? Why and for how long? As Chairperson has said, we are not in the business of saving, we are in the business of spending, but for services, not just for the sake of spending, for quality services. I think I will pause there, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Members. Honorable Sotman.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just trying to get to my questions, but I just wanted to ascertain in terms of the presentation, I was just looking again at the financial performance, page 24, and as it was presented. Now, we have become accustomed to you have your 2013-14, 14-15, 15-16, and this one is presented other way around, and that's why it was starting to, I was a little bit confused in the beginning, because working 2015-16 and then 2014-15, I don't know, also in terms of over-under expenditure, it's not a big thing, but the terminology has changed to variances and so on. So maybe I think that is where we actually start getting, you know, a little bit waylaid by the presentation of the of this financial report. Let me stop at that point. Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I think let me start with the issue of the CFO. Just day before yesterday, there was a misunderstanding between Nelson Mandela and ourselves as a portfolio committee. When you say a post is vacant, when did you say that? My understanding, you say the post is vacant when it's budgeted for and it needs to be filled. And if a post is not funded, it's not vacant, because there's no budget for that position. In fact, it's supposed not to be, not there even in an organizational structure, because you don't have money for that position. You can only put that position when you have budgeted for and you want to fill it. Because according to my understanding, the organizational structure becomes an annexure of your APP, of the things you want to do. And I want to be clarified by yourself with regard to that. The issues of recurrence of findings by Auditor General, Chair, I think they have got to do with the council than the administration. It's unfortunately that we have got only one member of council here. If you go to the findings by Auditor General, they talk to oversight, responsibility, and that is talking to the board. Because if the board or the council is found missing, then you will have these things recurring. You can't have these things 3 years in consecutive and it's not corrected. If the council, because the council should have detected these things and just go exactly where it is and stop it there. And I think we might need an explanation from the council why these things are carried, and there's no attempt by the council to make sure that they stop this recurrence. Because if you, for example, the issues that the Auditor General is raising here, you financial statement not full prepared in accordance with the prescribed financial reporting framework, there's a recurrence of this particular issue. Even in your previous audit opinion, it was there. And why it has to happen even again here? The issue of irregular expenditure. I mean, we can't have such things happening time and again. That's my concern, Chair. Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Member, Honourable Delango.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think our observation is more or less the same.
I'll start with the one of the feeling of vacant post. I had a presenter talking about filling the post under education department. So what I wanted to check is that for them, educational department carries more water than appointing the CFO. Another thing, issue of the audit outcome. Really, it's not good having that outcome for the 3 consecutive years. I just wanted to check also if they do have an internal audit, because I think if the internal audit is there to advise them not to fall into a trap or to correct some of the issues that has been identified that may lead to the audit outcome like the one they are having. Lastly, Chairperson, is seeking for clarity on slide number 23, the 358 number, which is there under over or under collection, and the number 378. What's the difference? The 378 and the 358. Thanks.
I hope you're noting the questions, Honorable Matlam.
Sure, thank you. I guess we should appreciate the presentations both by the department and the entity. Colleagues have already raised important matters. I just want to add on what they have said, just to take it to another level. The issues of that are recurring that colleagues have already spoken about, areas of material misstatements in the annual submissions of financial statements, issues of irregularities on expenditure, procurement and contract management. But perhaps whilst we will be very critical about your underperformance, there has been some marked improvements. For instance, your irregular expenditure have been brought down from 1.1 million to 194,000. So you're getting there, but we obviously will never clap hands for a fish to swim. We expect you to have a zero irregular. Zero irregularity. My colleague raises the issue of what we perceive as the absence from action by the board. Raises issues of oversight, and which is very crucial, because whatever happens here, the first blame goes to the board and secondly to the management. But what we normally would say as a portfolio, whilst we will obviously be taking you on, unapologetically so, but we must also indicate that we do appreciate that you avail yourself to sacrifice to help our very important institutions to be on their feet. I'm raising this matter because I know that there is one of our entities where people, which you are professionals, wouldn't want to avail themselves of it because of its image and how it is. So we are not, when we take you on, it's not because we do not value your input. We are raising it because we want you to be better. And that's why we also expect oversight of ourselves. And we do actually also get oversighted even by the AG. And perhaps for the benefit of this committee, while I'm on that matter, just to say, your committee chair is highly rated in comparison with most of the committees in the institution. Yeah, and but I'll tell you more when me and you meet. But I think all I'm saying is, colleagues, continue to do what you are doing. Don't pull your glass. You must always keep your glass on and go for them. There must be blood on the floor every time they are here. There are issues of HR management, and I think that's also raised by the AG on leadership, and that's where the board belongs. Oversight and HR management is an area where you need to improve, but the details are what colleagues have already said. There are issues on financial performance, on reporting, one met. The rest looks reasonably, there are issues of policies, issues of action plan in the leadership, issues of policies needs to be improved, action plan needs to be improved, and then issues of governance defined. On financial management, there are two major issues: reporting and compliance. To a certain extent, the processing and the reconciliation. And most of the time, the reason why you have this kind of problems is that we leave things for the end of the year. When audit approaches, it's only then that we start to scramble and get our things together. And my experience is that when you do these audit things on quarterly basis, first quarter, 3 months of the financial year, you get your things sorted out, both by internal audit and the finance people. But in this case, you don't have that person, but whoever is there, if we on a quarterly basis deal with these matters and we put them aside, we actually have passed the audit. Come the second, what you call quarter, same thing done and dusted, all records, everything done and dusted. Come the third quarter, you have it. When the audit comes, if there are discrepancies, the auditors must not find them. You must disclose them. In that way, you overcome all the hurdles, and you are seen to be honest. I mean, you are dealing with people. Auditors are people. If you disclose your problems, they will not hang you. Now, those are the things that are crucial, Chair. Now, there are certain things that I am going to raise, which some of them have not been raised. So, let me just go back to the things that were presented by the lady here. I do not understand why you would not have budgeted for the municipal services. And when you did the report, you did not say, because, you know, you just told us a story that we did not budget, but it doesn't say anything to us. The question is, why did you not budget? And who was supposed to do that? And what is happening currently as we speak? Because if those questions are not answered, we are left hanging. Now, colleagues have raised issues of recurring problems. And I'm just going to quickly, I think I've referred to those things. Let's share what we should do, is to request Umsunduzi before the end of this week to submit to the committee the management reports for the past 3 financial years, so that we are able to answer the questions that colleagues have raised. If we find that indeed we are not very happy, you will be called back, or we will descend at Umsunduzi. There are a few things that I'd like to raise over and above the things that we have raised, Chair. The bridge at Ngom, something that is interesting is we are saying this money, PG, or Anila, is going to help with the maintenance of the bridge. You know, I really find it very strange. We went there on the bridge. We walked. Obviously, it was painted with some... we picked up something there which was funny. Chair, I can't remember what it was, but there was something that was...
Yes,
I'm going to the lock issue. The lock, it was painted somewhat interesting. I can't remember what it is. And then the lock is on the other side, that river side. Mm. Now, we are going to take up money to go and pay for a guard house on the Blood River side and pay for the security. I find it very strange. I really find it very strange. How can we negotiate for such a flawed arrangement? If we maintain the bridge, remember it's not only the bridge, because even the road that's going there to Blood River is funded by debt. That passage, it's funded by DEC. But now there's going to be a security card. No, it's wrong. I think you must go and negotiate these things. If I pay money, I even pay security, we are maintaining the separation of these entities. It cannot be correct. DG, it is high time that if it comes to a push, if it comes to a push, we should invoke certain laws of taking back that thing if it is in the interest of the public. Expropriate that thing.
Yes.
Expropriate. We cannot continue to create apartheid, perpetuate apartheid separation at the expense of the state. Even that thing, that fact, it was paid for by the state. Things, they are paid for by the state. Now, we've got another one here paid for by the state. We have a road paid for by the state, and we perpetuate separation at the expense of the state. Can never be correct. Let's deal with that nonsense. So, IPOT must go and negotiate that thing with the four trackers. We definitely cannot allow such things. Global security, look at Abantu Buti. Bang is Zila as they... No, it's nonsense. It's wrong. Apologies for my Greek. I don't like it. Now, you reported about that road, the dead road, the gravel road, which is a problem. Which road there? It's a terrible road. But we made a recommendation, Chair. We said this time last year, that when we presented our report to Parliament, that the Department of Education, of Arts and Culture, must approach public works or roads, whatever thing. And all those things, so that they collaborate, because we were not sure as to whose road is it. Is it a district road? Is it a municipal road? And what have you. But we're saying because we have an investment there as DEC, and we want tourists to be there. Actually, we're even with tourism portfolio. We said all those people should collaborate and see that at least we have a workable road with a better signs to get to that thing. So that place can have, we can have the value. Now, in the report, you raise issues of social cohesion and conversations. I'd like to raise two issues. I was hoping Makondo was going to raise it because he could still raise it. ukuthi lapha there's a community in that area. There's a Basutu community. In the narrative of that area, we could not find it's their place, their Ndawuleyana belongs to Narebesutu, according to us. Ngiyakubona ungubani ukuthi mbovu. Ngiyakubona ukuthi uyahala ukuthi amaZulu yakho. Kunabesuthu laphana who have been there. And it's a pity we did not go and meet the community. But we could feel from the narrative there, Ubuti, they are not having sufficient space. And I would say, DG, in the constitution of the board, you need to make sure that you get one person from that society, from that community. So that we make sure that the synergy, when we talk about social cohesion, and because these things we can undermine that, but and I know Ubuti, there were times when there was some level of tension between the two communities. And for your information, I come from KZN. I spent time, so I know all those people, Sosovala, the people and everything there. I know all those places. So I'm going to tell you guys. But in Msunduzi, in Pietermaritzburg, there is something that you have not said, and I find it very strange that you've not raised this matter. During the period when there's this Afrikaner Ishmeta, what is that period when they celebrate the Blood River thing? The time of the vow, they call it the
Day of the Vow.
Then vow thing. I want to raise it specifically. I know that it's reconciliation.
Yeah.
Need the reconciliation day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like a Day of the Vow. We are told that in your area there, on that period or those days, blacks, even yourselves, are getting kicked out. We will follow. I'm saying this thing because they are saying even on when that activity is happening, even a black police is not allowed. Sorry?
That's Blood River, I don't remember.
Is that Blood River?
Yeah.
On that day, no black person is allowed.
Yeah.
And they're not even a black police is allowed to be in operation.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I may put it in the wrong address. But that thing is there. Now, such a thing can never be allowed. And it will change. It has to change. Comrade Chairperson, we will need to speak to the police, Commissioner of Police, and the Minister. We'll have to call them here so that on that day, black police are deployed. And they have to do their work. We cannot allow such unbecoming behaviors. No. The last question. Actually, the others were no questions. Eh? I only have one question. There are things that I wrote here. See, the reason I don't want to write. Because I can't see what I write sometimes. I can't read my own reading. It's horrible. This, my teachers owe me school fees. No, internet connectivity. Why are people charged? Who are these people that were charging? I think that's a question I'd like to raise. Who are these people that were charging? Because when you walk around here, actually, I don't know whether it came to Abanduba Patala, but I know that in Johannesburg and Pretoria, there's free Wi-Fi. And That service is supposed to be rolled out throughout the whole country, including rural areas. Mina, if, because one, I wouldn't say in care expenses that you've not budgeted for, but I can see you make money out of that Wi-Fi. I think you perhaps I mustn't raise the question. Can I recommend that you approach the relevant authorities? If you are charging the public and the young people, that you approach the appropriate authorities, be it Telkom, whoever else who supplies that free Wi-Fi, if indeed it is free, so that your projects, your products, Babudichi, or your entities, if they make Wi-Fi available, let them make it free. I mean, I can imagine ukuthi lapha enqome ukuthi people who live here there banabhatalisa Wi-Fi, it would be a total disservice. Abantwana besikolo beza lapha, abantu abadala beza lapha, I would say if they come here they should actually be getting that service free of charge, because it's cool kids that are getting the bill. Apologies for the time that I've taken, Chair.
Thank you very much. I hope you're ready to respond. But I want to raise a few issues. I think they relate to the department and also to issues that we raised when we were on the oversight visit, especially collaboration, working together. The issue of the space that we raised, that was raised when we were there, the display area of the museum being small and unable, people being unable. You remember, we had to go in trenches there. You can't go as a group because the space is small. And we had asked the department to look into that and see how can we have sufficient space, because that museum is very important and is telling a important history in our lives, but how can we ensure that we have the space that is needed? But I think also the issue that was raised earlier of the roads, because we had recommended that let's talk to the municipality. Who is responsible for the road? Is it the local municipality? Is it the district municipality? Is it the, it can't be national, it should be there because it's a rural road. So have you done that? Have you looked at who's responsible for the road so that we talk nicely to those people and show them how this road is important to us as people who are running this museum? That collaboration, I think, is very important. And also with the library, because we said, because there is a unit within the department that deals with libraries, and that unit always understands its budget. Let us make that library that is in that institution, let us make it, as Honorable Mahlangu is saying, something that can be utilized by the community that are around there, especially school-going kids, to go there and reference, to do there and do, find, get information from internet, because the department does have internet in the libraries that they are providing all over the country. So that rural space, I think in that rural space, it can really make that community, it can improve the lives of the people in that community. So did that discussion happen between the department and the institution, that let's look at this library and see how we can make it a space where rural people from this area could
Pioneers. And I think it's the museum that has life, that should provide life to that community and provide these services to the young people and the old people in that community. So did that discussion take place between the department and the museum? And also the issue that was raised by Honorable Mashangu earlier was something that we talked about the Sotho speaking community that is there and the language policy of the museum. This is something that we identified why we were there. It's not something that he is raising now. It's something that we raised, and I think we will need to hear what you have done about that. Is the lock still there? Is the padlock still
there?
Yes. Hey, I can start to sell. Can you expand on this thing? Because we were made to believe that while there are discussions, it will the padlock will be taken off while you are discussing these issues. And I think as the council must tell us what is actually happening, because their story cannot be complete without the story of this other side. And this story of this side cannot be complete without the story of this. So I got very silent. We are just working together to ensure that people get the whole picture. Because if they get to the other side, it's only half of the whole story. So I can't believe this. Something has to be done, and it has to be done urgently. Oh, it's a bypass lock. I can't believe it. Tell us why it's still there. What is happening? What are the negotiations? Because with the other one in Pretoria, with the Freedom Park and the Fort Burger, there are negotiations. There is something that is happening. They are working together. Why are they still locking that padlock on the other side? I think as the portfolio committee, we need to get that information, because this thing is totally, totally unacceptable. And the issue of the curio shop, I think the department can assist also there with your the golden economy, where people who bring, this is what we said when we were there, while the museum should buy these curios from the people so that they can sell them. Because you can't give your curios your product to this museum and wait for it to be sold one day before you get on with your business. So each department should assist, this is what we suggested, each department should assist to the museum to buy the products from the people so that they can sell them. And while the department, the museum is selling them, people are producing more. This is what job creation is all about. And we've always said that artists are job creators. They are job creators. They don't go around waiting for someone to employ them, but they are doing things so that they can sell them for their livelihood. So I think we need to change the way we're doing things, to think out of the box within the legal framework and assist our communities. We must transform the lives of our communities. This is what's important for us. I'm giving you an opportunity to respond. Okay, you can respond.
Thank you, Chair. I will respond to the question pertaining the council. The points that have been raised by the honourable members are very real. I've joined the council in 2015, and as a person who is a finance background, I was completely, totally, absolutely uncomfortable that we don't have a CFO, because that is a key position, and I had said in our meetings many times. But I think the challenge, Chair, we are working with the DAC to get the funding. because even the person who left there, the director will expand on that question of vacancy and the position. But even the person who left the chair, we are told the salary was not even market related and becomes difficult to even get someone. And in our status of achieving 97% of our performance, I think credit goes to the team because they are going an extra mile. Makumalu, who is the head of finance, is taking the CFO role somewhere, but it's not ideal, Chair. Personally, I'm not happy with that. That's why we are working with the DAC to improve the situation. And we do apologize for not identifying the date in which we're going to do the actions on the audit finding, Chair. But what normally happens is there's something called audit implementation plan, which is more detailed. It's done and gets reported quarterly to the board and to the DAC of how far is the progress on the audit finding. So there are different dates, but eventually before the end of the financial year, we should resolve everything. But we do apologize that we are not specific on the line-by-line audit finding. Then, Chair, I want to touch on the board or the council. When you look at page 31 of the annual report, it does talk about the attendance, which you have alluded to. One of the difficulties, and I'm talking to Msunduzi Museum Council, difficulties with the finance, with the money, our budget. What we tend to see, Chair, is the difficulties of members of council who are sacrificing their time to come. It becomes difficult when we have to have our meetings at times, Chair, which is not ideal. We will have 2 days meeting set aside where day one will have 2 different committees, the audit committee and the HR committee on that day. Then the second day we'll have a council meeting. Normally you'll want to give a space for input to be added to council, but due to the budget constraints, we'll compress the meeting so that whatever feedback comes from those subcommittees can be dealt with on the following day. So there is that thing, Chair, of finance constraint. And one of our members, when we discuss, including ourselves, we know that we are sacrificing, Chair. But Msunduzi Museum is one of those that pay their council members the very lowest rate, and I think it does discourage. If you look at the turnover is safe, so I'm trying to make sure that I'm talking the right thing. If you look at the staff turnover, or council turnover, it's difficult, Chair, because people have to put their 2 days of work. One council member mentioned that she had to take an unpaid leave, and it becomes difficult. So, Chair, I'm not complaining, but I'm just saying we are trying as a council, as a new council, to see how we can make council effective, including introducing telecommunication, where we can have a meeting over the telephone as long as issues are dealt with and save the cost of traveling. Check. So I'm believing that once we get some assistance on the budget, Chair, many of these things will be dealt with. We will provide the management letter to the committee so you can see the progress, Chair. But on the detailed management letter from AG, Chair, I just want to bring to attention that within the short space of this new council, there is quite a significant improvement, Chair, on the matters that relates to governance. We have moved, Chair, from the red to a green, not even a yellow, Chair, just to give you an indication. It talks about overall movement on the previous assessment, implementation appropriate risk management activities. From 2014-15, Chair, to 2015-16, it was red and became green. It talks about ensure that there is adequate resource and functioning internal audit unit. We do have an internal audit unit. it has improved. Actually, we have even from the audit committee recommended that the internal audit look at what is called quarterly dashboard, where all these controls, monthly bank reconciliation, etc., are done, and the audit function assists in the absence of the CFO. Even that, Chair, it becomes difficult because the audit committee must add their budget. So we want to do better, Chair. We want to improve, but we are constrained because of the budget that we have at the moment. Then on the issue of the padlock, Chair, if you recall, when we came here early this year, we came with the board for the board member, and when he explained their difficulties from Blood River side, he mentioned that they are independent and they don't have funds. Actually, he made an analogy that both Msunduzi and Blood River is more like they are the children from the same parent. And as a parent, you won't allow another child to look better. You need to take care of both of them. He was making reference to how Ngome looks compared to the Blood River. But as a board, we met with them and we explained the importance and the imperative of opening the bridge. They understood that. Actually, I attended the conference in 2015 where even the Basutu king, the traditional king there, he even had a wish that one day we will have a combined celebration. So the issue of blacks not being allowed, I got shocked when I heard that even myself. So there are things we're working with them. But we sat down and we drafted an MOU, Chair. I would have loved that it has moved quicker, Chair. But the plan was before November we should sign. And I was happy to hear that the DAC had advanced some funding. Honorable Member is not here, but to try to attempt to answer him, it's more like when they said they want to work with us, it from their side they raised issues of security and they don't have money. I think from the portfolio committee there was an understanding that let's see through the Department of Arts and Culture how we can help them so that when they open the bridge, they'll also be able to keep it safe, whatever the issues they've raised that they need to control, ticket control, how we are in negotiating with them, how we're going to manage the whole thing. But Chair, yes, it might be late now, but before November, I think we'll still meet that deadline. I'm hearing that they're in the process of building a guardhouse. So it's getting there, Chair. Maybe the next step is to engage them with the issues that are coming about why blacks are not there, about a joint celebration at some point. But where we are sitting as a council, I think we are comfortable that they are coming on board and they are understanding the national imperatives and they are willing to work with us. And it's just, it was the issue of the budget that they've indicated, and thanks to the DAC that they've intervened. Although it might be for short term, we need a long-term lasting solution and change. Then maybe just also to touch on the issue of the community you raised, Chair. We as council, we are trying to engage the community to get them involved. On the activities of the conference, they were there, fully attended. There was another activities on Women's Day. And I know that we also have the mobile museum that we got through our initiative with the Lotto. We are trying to get them involved, but I'm sure your suggestion will also be incorporated. The issue of the road, there's progress that is being made, but it's slow, Chair, because you have to deal with Department of Public Works, you have to deal with it, and via province, the director will explain. From our side, we do get that frustration, but there is something that is happening, but it's not happening at the speed that we want. I think that's it, Chair.
Thank you. Are there any other responses?
Thank you, Chair. I would like to respond to one or two issues that were raised by honourable members. I think the council member has addressed the issue of an internal audit. We do have an internal audit that is we are working with. In terms of zero irregularity, we had aimed at having a zero irregularity in the last audit cycle. However, I think it was a mistake. Not that we did not do things accordingly. We had a service level agreement with the company, the traveling agents, which was for 1 year. And when we presented that to the reason why, to make easier for council members to attend the meetings, we just, when we presented that to AG auditors, they were not impressed. They said we shouldn't have done that way. We should have asked for quotations. But we said we have a service level agreement with one institution to avoid this thing. But we now doing according to what they want. So we're hoping that in the next chairperson, in the next audit cycle, we will not get an irregular, that, because that was the only irregular expenditure that was incurred by our institution in the last financial year. On the issue of a gravel road, we as soon after the portfolio committee members visited the site, we arranged a meeting with the Department of Transport at the district level, because that road is a district road. In that meeting, we had a local council who his portfolio is responsible for that area, and also is responsible for road improvement of that area. When we had the meeting with the district office of the Department of Roads, they told us that that road is priority number 6 in terms of attending to that road, not just not tearing that road, but re-graveling that road now and again. Priority number 1 for them was the road that links the Sandwana Road. I understand the portfolio committee went there as well. So that road, because soon after our meeting with them, they again re-graveled the road instead of doing what. But we're hoping with the... It's unfortunate that currently at Ngutu, there is still a stalemate in terms of the new council. There is no council official now, the municipal council. But we are hoping as soon as that they have the new council, we are going to take this matter further with them to say this is the problem and it's being raised now and again. Could they assist us in terms of asking the department to prioritize that road that leads to this thing. With regard to, unfortunately, honourable member Mahlangu is out, social cohesion, the Basotho people in that area. The people that are residing in that area are at what is called Ohalin, are mainly Zulu-speaking people, though the chief is Basotho. But we have a committee that we as an institution work together to ensure that that communication between the two institutions, that is their community institutions and our institution in that area. With regard to internet connectivity, we were talking about the internet cafe. We have an internet cafe where people come in. That's when people pay. We were not talking about the external Wi-Fi and stuff like that. The library, we have engaged, we are engaging with the department. Mr. Kekano works with the library and the department in terms of ensuring that our Ngome Museum library works. The department donated a sizable number of books for that museum so that kids and schools around, and kids, it's a rural area we have seen, and it's difficult for kids to come during the day. And after school, it's also a challenge in terms of transport issues. But we sometimes go out to the schools with our books to children. I think that is all, Chairperson, that I'm reporting.
But I think we need to give the department an opportunity to perform on this issue of in library, because it's their mandate. It's not the mandate of the museum. but the museum, because it's a structure that is there, is really assisting the department on its mandate to provide a library. And the relationship between the provincial department of sport, recreation, arts and culture, and the museum, because actually libraries are a provincial competency, and the national department is only assisting. So if you speak libraries at NOME, you need to speak to the provincial department so that it prioritizes, and when it gets a budget from the Department of Arts and Culture, it can prioritize the library within that area. Because I think it's important for that library to be a fully fledged library, because that's a remote area. And I think it can assist. And when the department gives money to the provincial government, I think it's important that the department sensitizes the provincial department that there's this library that's within our museum and we would like it to be prioritized. Can you perform a activity on this matter?
Thank you very much, Chairperson and honorable members. I'm glad that already my colleague, Dr. Ngubane, has indicated that prior to the opening of the NOME Museum in 2014, if I'm not mistaken, we did, the department provided library books to ensure that there are books there by the time it opened. But I do agree, Chairperson, that we might just have to revisit that library and begin to look at the stock that is there, the utility value of that stock. As you have correctly indicated, that we might have the books, but maybe we might just have to check the nature of the books that are there so that they begin to assist local communities there. For instance, whether the books are relevant to the curriculum. Those are the things that we'll have to look at, and I think in your remarks, Chairperson, you've already said what I was going to say in terms of saying we'll be working very closely with the province, because we transfer to the province, and that we will then be approaching the province to see to it that what was started by the department, it's completed. But of course, with very clear guidelines to the province of what we would like to see, particularly the whole issue of books, but also the whole issue of internet connectivity, because it then becomes much more useful to local communities there and the children who can then also do assignments and whatever projects that are assigned to, and they can access information on the internet. And also, Chair, I'm very glad that the Director also has spoken about the issue of road, which I think is being addressed now at the level of, at the local level. But Chair, also to say that we are also trying to influence processes at higher levels. The Department of Transport, I think 2-3 weeks ago, they were presenting their national transport plan. But that had to be taken back because many government departments felt that they had not been consulted. For instance, we had a very particular interest with the Department of Tourism for the same reasons, because we saw all the roads that they were talking about. We saw that, you know, more particularly our heritage sites, which are a major tourism attraction, most of them are actually located in the rural areas. And our view was there should be the prioritization of those roads. So we are going to be then having those kind of engagements in partnership with tourism to try and direct the attention of transport to those heritage sites that are of very significant value. Thank you.
I think the comments on the, you have not touched the comments on the, in fact, time frame on the action that we were proposing that you take, the employment of the CFO, and you know, other issues that relate to your financial and your human capital. So as the portfolio committee, we would like you to go back and give us that information to say that this is what we said we are going to do, this is when we are going to do it, this is how we are going to do it. Give us the time frame. If you're talking about employment of the CFO, when do you think you're going to advertise and, you know, shortlisting and all that stuff, and by this time you will have, so that we are able to keep you accountable, you are able to account to us, because this is what we are paid to do, to make you account. So I think it's very important. And some of the issues that were raised, I think the department is taking note of the fact that the fees that are paid to counselors, and I think in one of the meetings the department said they are looking into the whole thing now, to look at all the institutions, the amount of work that has to be done and all that stuff. And the what I think is very important also is really the quality of the people, the quality of the people that we need in these councils or boards, because they are the accounting authority, so they need to be up to scratch with the things that they are that are happening. And it's a pity you can't measure commitment. Beforehand, you'll have to get that person in to see the commitment. And the fact that, you know, we want to appreciate the work that you're doing, because in some instances you have boards that are working against management. We have serious matters of boards that come in with their own agenda, and management that have its own agenda, and the entities are in shambles when it comes to that. So we want to appreciate the fact that you are working together and ensuring that this is not about you. It can never, this is what I always say, that it can never be about the people around this table, never. And when it becomes about you, you must know that there is a problem. Because it can't be about me. It can't be about my ego. It can't be about anybody's ego. It's about the service that has to be provided to the people. So we must always have this at the back of our mind. People come in with agendas, different agendas. And it's a shame when institutions suffer because of egos of individuals. It's a shame. But we want to thank you very much, and as Honorable Masango and other honorable members said, that there are improvements that we can actually see from the AG's report, that there are areas of improvement. But you don't focus on areas of improvement. Focus on these areas that you have to improve, not neglecting those that you have improved in, because you may fall back. So I think it's important. This is what the AG said to us yesterday, that if you are in the yellow, you must know that you can go backward or you can improve. So you must be very careful not to go back, but to continuously improve. Because if you get a qualified audit, even the people that you are serving, they lose confidence in you. But if you, they are sure that you are utilizing it, even if you don't, you're not doing anything wrong with the money, you're not chowing the money, But the first thing that comes to mind, qualified, you or don't buy Jelimari. That's the first thing that comes to mind of the public. So we must try, because if government by 2014, it is said by 2014, all of us must have green audits. We are in 2016 now, but we are still battling with qualified audits. But we would like to thank you for availing yourself, and please tell the board that the portfolio committee is not pleased at all. Okay, we accept that the fees must fall. Fever is affecting the chairperson and other members, but we would really want to talk to the board, especially when we go to the site where things are happening. We would like the board to be there, because they may hear things that they wouldn't have heard normally. So we want to thank you very much, and we appreciate the work that you're doing during very difficult times. It's not easy, and we were never promised that things are going to be easy. That's what I like. Nobody promised us that things are going to be easy. But let's go forward and do the work for the good of our people and for the transformation of society. We are stepping off now. Msunduzi, honorable members, are there questions that were not... honorable Muka?
Chairperson, thank you very much. Mine is just a concern to stress on the concern of Honorable Mashang, the issue of internet cafe in the public institution is very worrying, because it means the kids that have no access to internet they can't afford. They have to run to the government institution, and now the government institution also wants money. Let us try everything we can to make it free for those kids.
Yeah, I think the negotiations with the provincial department of arts and culture through the library unit and the influence by the DAC will assist, will go a long way, because they do provide internet in their libraries. So if we try to talk to the provincial department and the DAC or WGSOR, they influence that. We are ring fencing so much for that museum so that they can get. I think it can work out. I don't think it will have any problem. So we are really proposing that you do that. Thank you very much. We are stepping off to Sunduzu, and we are now inviting Market Theatre and Windy Brown.
Thank you. the plan in charge. I just want to meet. Nothing else. No report changes, nothing.
Nothing,
just images.
We don't want images.
No, it's what?
We don't want images.
Who makes so to money?
One,
two, three.
No.
I'm going to sit where you are. So I'm sorry.
After and before. Is this after and before?
Yes. And you know those are normally in you're wearing underwear, you know, in the picture, the before and the after.
Yeah.
You know, especially in the filming.
So how are you going to do this? How is this going to show? I mean,
just go to the slideshow. Just it's a slideshow, yeah. Just want to start with it before we get to the content presentation. And then Dr. T will then be able to move to what you submitted as a presentation after that. And then we get that one
upload. No, this one is mine. Sorry.
It's okay. Not what is now discussed resource.
And we will fight over it.
Yeah. It's okay.
Technology for you. Just look at what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
That keeps it from you.
I now welcoming the Gautrain.
Yeah.
Okay, we're welcoming Market Theatre and we will ask the department to give us an overview. We have introduced ourselves, but we will ask you to introduce yourself because some of us are old. They don't remember things well. So, in fact, I'm the only one. Yes, the other one. I'm older than anybody in the committee. So I'm the eldest in the committee. So I'm the one who's forgetful. Others are young lions. They are young. They remember stuff. But hey, for me, it's very difficult. I've reached the monkey years, if you know the story. And we will now ask you to introduce yourselves, and thereafter we will get the department to give us its overview.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I would like to first introduce my team and thank you for the opportunity to present to the Portfolio Committee. On my far left, we have Christine McDonald, who is the CFO of the Market Theatre Foundation and has been in that position for more than 10 years now. And then on my immediate left is Mr. Ishmael Mohammed, our newest member of the Executive Committee of the Market Theatre Foundation. He joined us on the 1st of August from the Grahamstown National Arts Festival and is with us for the next 5 plus 2 years, which is 7 years. And I'm Gwane Lekumbi, the chairperson of the Market Theatre Foundation.
Thank you very much. We know each other from the Hamster. So, welcome. You're most welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson, honorable members, executive management. I will just do an overview as I did previously when I went before the presentation by Msunduzi. This is a presentation outline. Maybe just to go straight to the background, it's important to note that Market Theatre is a foundation which is under Schedule 3A for public entities. It was established in terms of the Cultural Institutions Act, Act No. 118 of 1998, which receives institutional transfers from the Department of Finance Operations and address its structural needs. Look at the 3-year performance overview of the Market Theatre. 2013-2014, 75%. 2014-15, 80%. 2015-16, 68%. I wouldn't want to go to 2016-2017 because that's the year in which it was still operating. Then also looking at income and expenditure trends, 2013-14, received 43 million, 14-15, 69 million, 15-16, 73 million. And of course, there is own income, also which is reflected in the slide. And now the history of the audit reports for this particular institution indicates that 2012-2013 it was unqualified. So was 2013-14, it was unqualified, but of course with findings, 14-15, unqualified with findings, as well as 2015-2016. Selected audit findings, emphasis of matter in respect of the following: irregular expenditure incurred by the Market Theatre Foundation. Market Theatre Foundation did not maintain regular, accurate, and complete performance reports that are supported by reliable verification sources. And matters of governance structures. At the helm is the council, and the council of the Market Theatre Foundation is fully constituted as of 13 October 2016. Management, the Market Theatre Foundation as Chief Executive Officer and Chief Financial Officer, And of course, in terms of meetings, frequency and attendance, our forecast on 2015-16, they had 8 meetings. All the days, there were 8 members of the council, 4 meetings, 6 meetings of the council committee, attendance 84%, number of audit committee meetings 4, management meetings 8, and then the number of staff meetings 9. Chairperson, you would recall that there had to be consolidation of the Market Theatre Foundation within the Brown Theatre. So that's why there is this light now that talks to the Windy Brown, which is Schedule 3A public entity, which also receives institutional transfer from the department to finance operations and addresses infrastructural requirements. As I indicated, that the Windy Brown Theatre was consolidated into the Market Theatre Foundation on 1st April 2016. Council and management of the Market Theatre were appointed as the acting accounting authority, executive management of the Windy Brow Theatre, respectively. Operations at the Windy Brow were suspended in March 2014. Staff of the Windy Brow Theatre is currently operating from the premises of the Market Theatre Foundation. Here is the income. 2013, Windy Brow was receiving 16 million. 14, 15, 11 million, and 2015-16, 17 million. Of course, there's also own income, which is also indicated in this slide. Now, let's get to the audit outcome of Windy Brow. The Windy Brow Theatre received the unqualified audit opinion in 2015-2016. And I just think that, Chairperson, we can say thanks to the integration with the Market Theatre. An improvement from the qualified opinions received by the entity since this was an improvement from the qualified opinions received by the entity since 2005. Financial statements not prepared in accordance with the prescribed financial reporting framework. The entity received audit findings due to lack of internal audit function. Also, misstatements of financial statements. Contingent liabilities, trade, and other payables and receivables. Now, this is an indication, a demonstration of the evolution of the audit findings within this particular institution. Chairperson, I would like to stop there for now. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Acting DG. Without wasting time, we'll head over to the Council of the Market Theatre.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've asked, I know the committee, through you, Madam Chair, does not appreciate new things, but if you allow me your indulgence, I just want to show the committee some images. There's about 6 to 7 of them, that's all, and then we begin our presentation. Just images. They're trying to show them on the screen. This has not been part of the submission that we made. This is the Windy Brow Theatre. Windy Brow, if you remember it, it's got two elements to it. We've got the one section that's called the Heritage House, which is a former house of one of the mining magnates in the 1800s. This is the state at which we found it some 2 years ago. You did visit Windy Brow, yeah. So as Dr. T keeps pressing on, I just want to show you the amount of work that has gone in. This is some of the repair work that has been happening at Windy Brow. This is how the roof, this roof, it's a ceiling. It's one of the oldest and most beautiful ceilings, but in this format, of course, it was ugly and dilapidated and not has been looked after for quite some time. This is the condition of the back of the Windy Brow, and after, by the way, 66 million rand had been spent. This is how Windy Brow looked. Always keep that at the back of your mind. Continue. This is where the 66 million rand apparently went in and it left it in this situation. This is just before we took over. Now, for 10 million rand, plus minus, 10.5, so to speak, this is how the Heritage House now looks. We've done it. It's been handed over to us, I think, on the 1st of August, am I right? It's back to us now. We are starting to use it as a facility. This is how it looks. And this is Windy Brow, the heritage house that we were showing you earlier on. Fully restored to the Heritage Council standards and a proud a jewel of the Hillbro precinct. And this is what we're going to be using. Heritage 1, Heritage House Phase 1 has been completed. Now what is left for us to do is for us to then curate, work on the inside in the artistic curation of it. I wanted to show the members of this committee. Please excuse me, I've got a bit of a cough. So I've got a tickle sometimes. So from time to time when I cough, please pardon me. We wanted to show you this individual basically. That since we got involved, since we were given the responsibility, Madam Chair, through your committee, this is the work we've put in, and we've done it under 10 million rands, 10.5 million rands. And this place is incredible. And whenever you find yourself in Johannesburg and doing some of the oversight work, we'd actually encourage you to go and visit the facility. You can go back now to the presentation. Excuse me. What I will do, I've got Ezoslalo, I need to earn my council fees, which I must say to my predecessor, I will get to the issue. The council fees are a big issue, Madam Chair. I've raised it with the minister. There's some forms we are filling up, but I'll still speak on that. And that's also maybe what affects our colleagues in the other institution. I will be brave to get into that conversation. I saw he was very modest on it. I would like to allow at this stage our CEO to then go into the presentation with our CFO. I've asked them, because I've had the experience and the pleasure to be at portfolio committee, to take the reports as read and go to the salient points and then engage with us on the matters that are important. But as a departure point, the Market Theatre Foundation is the best institution within the DAC, without a doubt. We do not argue about doing wrong things. We argue about artistic excellence and doing the best we could. So in the level of conversation, we would be interested in you in asking us what can we do better and what do we need for us to do things that sometimes are unimaginable to some of our colleagues. And that is where I think we are brilliant at. Sometimes we get constrained by having to comply because we're in the same portfolio as somebody who's doing so good and somebody's doing so bad. And the one that does so bad gets all the attention. And we end up not getting the support that we require to do greater things. And I think that is one of our fundamental complaints. But as you engage with our report, there will be high level. It will be short, it will be sweet, and then we'll allow you the opportunity to engage with us. And then after the CEO, CFO's presentation, I want to raise a few points as well so that it can enrich our conversation. But this is above and beyond our work that we do currently. On that note, I would like to afford Mr. Ishmael Mohammed, our CEO, to present.
I'll drive it for you.
Sure. Good afternoon, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. Thank you for the opportunity to present. I'm presenting on a fiscal year which I've inherited, and I'm thrilled that I've inherited one that I can report on fairly confidently, given the fact that we've received such a clean audit. The Market Theatre has an international reputation, one that's been earned very, very committedly through the quality of work that it presents, but also its engagement with the identity and the history of South Africa, both before 1994 and post-1994. Artistic excellence is measured through various appraisals, both internally, externally within the industry, through peer group approvals, and also internationally and nationally through various awards that we win. Our mission is quite long-term, guided by our vision and entrenched within our vision. We continue to present work that is presented in different genres, although we're a historically performance arts-based institution. we are increasingly moving into engaging with diverse cultural expressions that are authentically South African, but resonate with the rest of the global community as well. We're actively involved with committing ourselves to developing a new generation of artists, specifically through our training programs, the Market Theatre Laboratory and the Market Photo Workshop, which have a very strong reputation. And in terms of the way we're moving forward, we're also engaging with how we use the Windebrow facility as a training opportunity, an extension of the work that we're doing. So that really becomes the fourth unit that we have. Our educational programs are aimed not just at offering opportunity and new skills, but essentially around how those new skills respond to the changing economy of the art sector. In terms of productions that we have presented, we have been able to present the same number of productions in 2015 as in 2016, but we have to note that during 2015 there were constructions taking place in the Market Theatre, so some of the venues were closed during that particular time, but despite that closure we still managed to retain the same number of productions across our venues. We've also had an increase in our patrons and our audience base, again taking into consideration that venues were under construction and that we could not use the full capacity of the complex at that particular time. The growth in number of audiences is also to be measured in terms of diversity, in terms of demographics, racially, from the region, from outside of the region, and also largely in terms of how we've been able to grow our newer audiences, an area in which we make an enormous amount of commitment. That too is paralleled with our training program. You'll notice that there has been a substantial growth in our training program income. For that we owe credit to a large extent to the partners that we have, both nationally and internationally, which comprise of both foundations, corporate sector and private donors. Our lab Market Photo Workshop and lab project expenses are relative again to the income that we're able to generate from our corporate sponsors, foundations and other philanthropists. Our production costs, you'll notice, has increased from one year to the next. That again noting that we, whilst our complex was being renovated and one of the venues was not fully in use, we took the opportunity of responding to tours that we could take productions out and still be able to keep our work to full capacity. There's been a slight drop by one person in staff employment, but that's a natural drop, largely responding to either retirement or to changing needs within the organization and how we assess the needs of staff and grow them. The productions that we've presented in 2015, 2016 speak specifically to the different legs on which we build our program. If I take Le Patata as the Brugpas, it's to respond to work in different South African languages. People are living there is legacy from the celebration and the fact that this year we are focusing on the 40th anniversary of the Market Theatre and how we draw work that's coming back. But we're also quite strongly entrenched in building and celebrating a South African legacy. So work like Crepper School, The Suitcase, which come from the pen of Ken Temba, are quite important for us in terms of how we build our legacy and celebrate work that is strongly entrenched in who we are as a nation. Just in terms of moving forward, we have been able to establish an artistic committee which has 9 pillars for artistic programming, and work that we create would respond to those particular 9 pillars, which range from the creation of new voices, to celebrating cutting-edge work, to celebrating South African legacies, to making sure that we create work in various diversities. Also, the productions listed do reflect the fact that we are responding very strongly to the fact that women creatives are not in the upper rungs of production making, and that in each of those productions we've been able to engage women as designers and other creators in our program. The productions that we have, I've just listed 2. The Market Theatre, as you may know, has won more than 300 to 350 productions during its 40-year history. but I've just highlighted the two, Cincinnati and Cripper School, because those are particularly important for us, that they reflect the investment that we make in young directors. Cincinnati was a co-production with Canada, and one of our young directors, Clive Matibe, was able to travel, gain experience there, win awards internationally, and come back locally to celebrate that work there. Cropper School is part of entrenching both a legacy, the Sophie Mthina legacy, but also particularly in terms of the way we remember her as one who invested in developing newer voices. The award awarded to Don K. Alicia Gomedi provides him with the opportunity to create a new work, but to again celebrate legacy in some ways. So Cropper School is again the work of Ken Temba, and a kind of merging between the old and the new is for us quite important. The Market Laboratory has won a number of awards as well. Apart from just training skills, we try to retain the legacy of the institution, that one that is rooted in a human rights culture. And the Market Laboratory, apart from winning just the production from the work, we will report in our next report that it has won its second human rights award this year as well. So for us, that is wonderful, just in terms of the way we don't just do things as once-offs, but that we continue to build on the way we're doing. The Emerging Theatre Bursary is again tied to our investment in young directors. Again, the winning of Le Patata is quite important for us because it was the first work in indigenous African languages that competed against a whole palette of work from mainstream theatres presented largely in English. And what we've been able to do is to ensure that when we do work in indigenous African languages, we're not just doing it because we want to tick the box, but we want to compete on the same level and the same playing field as all other major mainstream productions. Fruit is again out of our Zabalaza Festival, again a direct showcase that when we present community-based festivals, the Zabalaza is one of them, that we're not just doing the community festival as a tick box exercise, but how we're able to catapult our writers and our directors who come out of our community-based programs to win competitively against other writers and directors. In terms of the Market Photo Workshop, the Giselle Wolfson Mentorship Photography, if you may know, Giselle Wolfson was a journalist whose work was invested in creating advocacy around HIV/AIDS. With this particular work, we encourage an artist to use photography as a medium to continue to advocate for human rights through their photojournalism. We continue to position the Market Theatre in the public intellectual space, so the work that we present with public talks and so forth are not just once off, but an integral part of our programming. So whether that is an exhibition or a photographic exhibition or a performance, public talks and public engagements around the work that we present in our galleries and in our theatre is a crucial part of our programming, and that it complements each other. Just to add, the other program is our Tierney Fellowship, which again is not just focused around South Africa, but largely in terms of how we build partnerships and relationships within the continent, and that we continue that even into this coming year with a fellowship that goes beyond our borders into the continent. Our capacity constraints, like all arts organizations, we will continue to be challenged. A large part of our programming or the budget that we receive from the DAC does go into our capital works and into our operations, but we're incredibly grateful for the partnerships that we have with the foundations and the basis that we operate with them as partners rather than as just you come on board and sponsor, means that we're able to continue to present a significant amount of our programming and be able to address some of the constraints that we have. Staff shortage and skills level, given the large demand that we have on our program across the different units and the fact that we've now integrated Windebrow as a unit within the Market Theatre Foundation, means that we are going to continue to have to respond to how we engage our staff in terms of addressing the ever-increasing needs that are going to be put on our program. tax incentives, the fact that we don't benefit from donation tax, despite the fact that we get millions of rands in programming money from a number of foundations and corporates and philanthropists, is in some way a challenge. And of course, the new lottery regulations, which prevent us from being able to apply for programming money, does put us significantly at a disadvantage and would have some kind of impact in the way we program, largely because our initial years we were able to present a significant amount of work based on the grant that we were able to get from the National Lottery. Our institutional strength, of course, is our track record of artistic excellence that it spreads over 40 years, but also the fact that we still continue to remain an iconic theatre in terms of where the, not just artistically, but also politically and ideologically in terms of the way we position ourselves. We have a very strong brand that continues to grow nationally and internationally, and of course, we have an accountable institutional governance thanks to our council and to our board. On the next slide, I've listed some of the donors that we have, which range from corporates to foundations to individuals who support a significant part of our program. Our staff, we've tried to retain consistency in our staff. Any resignations or the appointments that you have are largely due to retirements or people moving on, and of course new positions being filled and so forth, but we don't see that as a major crisis. We see that as normal productivity for any organization that wants to be progressive and responsive to its staff. Our top five risks, of course, are based in Newtown. We do operate to some extent in an unsafe operating environment. However, we don't allow that to deter us completely. We do engage with various partners, stakeholders, particularly the improvement districts, the local policing forum, and a number of agencies that are particularly interested in the economic growth and the stability of that particular district in which we are located. I've discussed the lottery regulations. Sustaining patron growth against economic challenges is going to become an increasing problem for all arts organizations, and particularly because we're also, whilst we're trying to grow new retain all audiences, we also have to look at new ways in which we grow younger audiences. And of course, the amalgamation of the Windebrow is a significant risk for us, in that it does have a legacy which is not the same as the Market Theatre. How we manage that is going to be our biggest challenge. The fact that we've been able to restore the building to a state of glory simply demonstrates our commitment, and we're quite confident that we will be able to take it to a level of excellence. That takes us largely to the Market Theatre Foundation. Just in terms of the Windebrow, I'm going to go quite fast with this because I think a lot of this has been edited, and Christine's going to take over from this point onwards, all the financials. Yeah, super.
Am I here?
In the slide? Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and committee members. As the Market Theatre, the risks that we have as a result of the Windebrow amalgamation, as they set out on the slide, the Windebrow have a lot of contingent liabilities with two court cases, one from the previous management and one from a previous contractor, which is more than almost 22 million with interest. And we did get confirmation from the Department of Arts and Culture that they would support us if any of these things went against us. But I mean, that item alone can wipe the Market Theatre out. So we are very sensitive and very concerned, but we hope that together with the department we'll be able to manage through this in the next year or two. There are huge legal costs coming from the Windebrow, the specific risk just above. Program funding for the Windebrow is even more of a challenge than the Market. The Market has a track record of 40 years. The Windebrow, we're more than 30 years old, but never had proper programming excellence, and therefore it would be very difficult to convince outside funders to try things out in the area. At the moment, we're busy with a market research program, talking to various stakeholders. Yesterday, we had two focus group meetings to see, you know, what would be able to work. So it is really starting from scratch in that area, but we're going to give it our full attention and try everything. Then the infrastructure of the Windgraaf, the house is 120 years old, and you know, if we don't maintain it, it could easily slip back into the rubble heap that it was, so that will take a lot of money. Security, we did put electrical fences around. We have day and night security there, but it's very costly. Starting the contracts we've now resolved, so I don't think that's a problem. And then they have, from City of Joburg accounts going back 3-4 years, literally of millions of rands that under dispute. That is one of the items in the Windybrand accounts when we get there, that the auditor said, now bring everything on to the annual report, even though we didn't previously, because we really don't think it's owed, but because of the amalgamation, we did do that. Next item. Okay. Just the council members, the whole list. I think the council was renewed as a result of specifically the Windebra. We had two or so new council members who are on their second years now, and I think it's a very responsive and very supportive council. No complaints. Audit committee, very, very supportive and experienced audit committee. Thabo Masilole, our chairman, unfortunately, after I think he was there for 10 years, he'd now resigned, and we will, Mr. Maponya will be taking over from him, so we will be looking for another audit committee member soon. Then the audit report, the market has been very proud that we've been able to have an unqualified audit report, I think, for the last 10 years. But we do have findings, and many things that we really have to work hard on. All of the findings we absolutely agree with, and especially on irregular expenditure, we, to put it in perspective, we have a finance department of myself and two other people. It is really difficult to, you know, comply with everything, but we do our absolute utmost. We have an attitude within the foundation of we will comply. And if we don't, it is really not a matter of, you know, we don't care. It is somebody didn't understand something, or we did it with council's approval, and all of the irregular expenditure council is happy to approve, since they were part of the discussion or the decision all the way. The unrecorded liability was a contractor that issued an invoice for the 7th of April, but it was clearly for work done in March, so we missed that one. It was paid in the week after the year end. Irregular expenditure, that one, we actually had a council meeting scheduled for June, which was then moved to July. And of course, I thought we would, because I had already cleared it with the chairman that the irregular expenditure would be approved, and I indicated that in the financials, and then the meeting didn't take place in time for the financials. So it has since been rectified. Quarterly reports, we have had challenges, just with words. I mean, it is so finicky that every single word and comma and bracket in the APP has to go on to the annual report. The amount, and the problem is the descriptions there. A target not disclosed in the annual report is also just an error, nothing else. And then there are some non-compliance with procurement and contract management issues. It is just quite a lot, but we explain those in detail, take corrective action, and submit it to council, and they are on it with us all the time. Audit findings, clean cash flow for 7,000, it has been increased to 10,000. That was done straight after the year end. We've increased that. Strategic plan, it's the same, it's just wording from the strategic plan to the annual report. Then the next point we have since also taken to council, there is a requirement for us to buy all IT through the state IT CETA, whatever they call. And I have explained to council, we have tried this on many occasions. It is an impossibility. I really don't think that they are geared for little organizations like we are, and we have therefore asked our council to approve that as an exception. We will never get anything done. They just, I think they deal with the really big state departments, and if we need two computers or whatever done, it's just too small for them to give any attention to. And then we didn't publish names of bidders. We, of course, published the names of people who won the bids, but that's been rectified also in the meantime. Financial highlights. We did have an accumulated loss during the period. I know when we look at the highlights, it will say that we've had about 59 million rand of surplus. However, because we in a period of capital works huge projects, we had six. Of course, all of the capital works funding we get come through the income statement with huge amounts, and then we put it to a reserve because it's really not operating income. So the real issue was that we had a small deficit for the period. That is the real story. We still have an accumulated surplus, but and we are managing the budget very carefully this year to make sure we don't do that again. It was mainly caused by we had a strange phenomenon where cables, electrical cables on the pavement were stolen. We're still adjacent to the old market building, and the museum is and ourselves is on one stand, and we have one transformer on the museum side with huge electrical cables running to us, and these people climbed in under the pavement and cut those cables, and it was R1 million of expenditure because of that, and of course the city said it's not their responsibility, they're only responsible up to the transformer. So that was a huge loss for us. The net asset situation has grown hugely, as you can see, from 86 to 128 million, mainly because of the one very big project that the market has, in the new Market Square building. Then bank and cash has come down a lot, but it's simply because we're spending the capital works money that's been allocated to us. Total revenue went up and accumulated surplus came down a little bit. The results, our own income, excluding the government grant, 22 million, the expenditures 54, and then when we put in the government grant, the deficit was 1.4 million for the past year, with the capital works grant of 43 million, taking it to the surplus of 41. Financial position, property, plant and equipment, mainly the properties, the improvements we did in the theatre building, plus the Market Square building that we would hopefully be moving into in the first half of December. And then normal trade and other bank and cash to show total assets for 164 million. And that's been represented by the capital grant reserve, where we depreciate write off the grant at the same rate as we depreciate the capital donated assets, revaluation reserve of a few artworks and so on, and then the accumulated surplus of almost 10 million. Unutilized grants, the 30 million there is mainly still finishing off this last, the Market Square building that we will be finishing hopefully in the next month, and then normal trade and payables and provisions. The income statement or financial performance, operating income of 5 million, that would include all income through the door as well as student fees. the grants of 73, which is a huge portion of capital works grants. The 30 million of the operating grants is in there too, and the non-operating income of about 6 million, which is mainly other funding received from other sponsors and funders. Expenditure, and I listed there, of about 41 million. The changes in net assets, this is just explaining the capital grant reserve, whereby there you can clearly see, if we look at that 45.7 million, the amount that we've received or used, rather, in the current year, and then what we've written back to the income statement, 1.7 million represents the depreciation on the donated assets. Otherwise, in future years, when we depreciate these buildings specifically, you know, we will be running in losses all the time. In this way, we will be bleeding back the reserve in the same way as we depreciate the assets. That's the end of the market theatre. So, Madam Chair, shall we do the questions on the market before we go to the Wendy Brown?
No. We treat you as the same institution. We treat you as one institution.
We are one.
I think that's the problem that we are having. That you, the things that you said about it earlier on, are the things that you're going to say about them now.
Yeah. Some of which will be the same.
Yeah, this is what we're thinking as well.
Okay, ready?
Yes. Thank you very much. As indicated already, the market, the Wendy Brow has been simulated and become part of a business unit of the Market Theatre Foundation, with all its staff now incorporated as well, in terms of contracts and everything else as well. Christine will talk a little more about that. If you notice, in 2015, there were only two productions by the Wendy Brow. We've been able to increase that to 12 through a series of co-productions, largely with Market Theatre Productions, but also Market Theatre and other theatres, which even includes Soweto Theatre. We've been able to increase the number of patrons that we've been able to draw in from the regions around the market, around the Wendy Brow, to come and see those particular productions, and of course the income that could be generated through co-productions with Wendy Brow has been almost tripled. The joint productions I've listed there, which are a number of productions that have been either standalone Wendy Brow productions that we've presented at the Market Theatre or at other festivals, or even just, for example, out of the region, Songs from Jazztown, which is presented in the Eastern Cape. Again, the productions, we have responded to various artistic pillars that we've been looking at, some of which I've presented in my report on the Market Theatre. From that point on, from the CFO continues.
Honourable members, I have spent some time on the problems for the legal cases, so I'm not going to spend some more time on that. The staffing at the moment, we have 13 people. We have one of the 13 retiring in each year now for the next 5 years, so there's at least five of them who will be leaving us over a period. One of the contract staff have also left since the year end. The beautiful Heritage House is now being restored.
We've already started since Ismail's joined us. We've had a session there with our own staff just to look at, you know, what are the ideas of people within our own organization. We've had a strategic session with our council there. And as I mentioned just now, we're now starting the focus groups, and yesterday we had two at the house. But ever since we've taken it over, we're using it already as rehearsal room space. And we are planning exhibitions there, and we have a number of meetings there. It will be formalized in the next couple of months. Council is exactly the same as the Council for the Market Theatre Foundation. Audit Committee is exactly the same as the Audit Committee for the Foundation. The audit report was unqualified this year. After 2 years of qualification, there are instances of matter items specifically relating to the lawsuit, and then there were the misstatements that we're referring to on trade and other receivables were specifically the items that have been there for many years, like the City of Joburg and other contingencies that they felt should now come on because it was the last set of financials for the Windybrow. Audit findings, we specifically decided in the last 2 years not to go out and get an internal audit group coming in because we were waiting any minute for the amalgamation. It couldn't have been worth the while. There were material adjustments, as I said, for contingent liabilities coming onto the balance sheet at year end. The same with relates to the trade creditors and the contingent liabilities as well. And then the Windybrow never had a 5-year plan that was linked to budget, so that was noted again, and there were problems with standard operating procedures that just weren't there in the past. Mm-hmm. Financial position, the increase in property was, of course, we started fixing the house, so that's the only increase that's reflected there. As far as the equity and liabilities are concerned, the unutilized subsidies are also the capital works money that we have received. We just before the end of the financial year in March, we did receive the first tranche for stage two, and that's why that figure of 24 million is there. So the Department of Arts and Culture committed to now doing the stage two, which is the everything but the Heritage House, the remainder of the site, but we will get that in three tranches, and then during this period we'll plan properly for the next building contract there. As far as the financial performance concerned, operating income, mainly ticket sales through some of the joint productions for the market, the government grant, which includes the portion of capital works grants that we've used, personnel costs, and then other administrative costs. The accumulated deficit was 68,000, and any deficit that we have there is really because of legal expenses, huge amounts of legal costs to get out of the two. We're still working through those. They're not at the end yet. And then I could maybe just, please, if you don't mind, mention that at the end of the financial year, 31st March 2016, the annual report still reflects this huge amount of irregular expenditure of almost 66 million rand. We did take the time to discuss with Auditor General, our Audit Committee, as well as our Council, on how we're actually going to treat this. Because for us as the Market Theatre Foundation to simply take over this huge amount would really create problems for funders, you know, because if they see that the irregular expenditure of that huge amount, they might feel unwilling, you know, to give us any kind of funding. So with the Auditor General, advice that we got from the Auditor General, because our council was not responsible, had no in this irregular expenditure, the Auditor General suggested, and we did that at the first council meeting of the 2016-17 year, we condoned it, and we then clearly explained why. So it will still reflect as an opening balance, as the market theatre, and we will then indicate why we're condoning it, and it will be written off. Because that was still a huge stumbling block for us, but that's how they suggested that we resolve it, and that's what we did. So if you see it coming through, I want you to know why and how. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Both the Windybrow Theatre annual financial report was submitted to Parliament, including the discs, including that of the Market Theatre as well. I must note this is the last Windybrow annual financial report that we have since it was declared a cultural institution. After this, 2016-2017, it will become a consolidated report. Let me just rather touch on some salient points and then we can get to the Q&A session. I think it's also worth mentioning that the Market Theatre Foundation is celebrating 40 years in 2016. It's a significant year for us. We share 40 years with the June 16 student uprising, and we've had one of the most incredible programming, artistic programming, that our theatre has ever seen in one particular calendar year. And so many members of the portfolio committees, our stakeholders, including the DAC, have come and participated in the celebrations, including the words of encouragement from the minister as well, for which we are grateful of. I think what is important to mention in my portfolio as chair, number one, if I were to request the portfolio committee to assist us and assist us directly, it will be on the two items. I think item number one, it is on the item of the DTI making a decision or a directive that lotteries will not give money to state subsidized institutions. I think that decision has crippled our industry. And this is a matter for the portfolio committee, for the DAC, and for us as institutions to work together in resolving. It's priority number one, and in fact, it is ironic that it happened under our watch, but I think it's time that we need to work together and try and resolve it. That's number one. I think number two, if we do have an appetite for more things to do and we have the capacity to do so, we really need to, in this shrinking economy, need to look at the tax incentives for funding of the arts. It's been high time that that conversation comes back on the table. In fact, the budget speech of the minister some 2 years ago, if you remember, he did mention it in his inaugural budget vote, the tax incentives. I think that conversation needs to come back on our dashboard, and through the portfolio committee, the ministry, DAC and the entities, we really can try and find alternative sources of funding with that tax incentive. It won't be easy, but it will also be worth our shot in trying to sustain the culture, the arts and culture of our country. One of the things that we are doing, and you would know that the Market Theatre Foundation is placed in Newtown predominantly and with another campus in Hillbrook, and the municipality or the metropolitan of the which we are situated has suddenly changed hands in terms of the political spectrum, and that has created some very interesting dynamics for us in terms of how we work and how we create relationships. And one of the things that we want to do in going forward, the Museum Africa, which is situated next to us, we want it to be part of what the Market Theatre is doing in terms of offering the arts and cultural spectrum and space in the Newtown precinct. We're busy negotiating with the people of Johannesburg, the city of Johannesburg, in relation to that, because it's their entity. And also we want to still talk to the province as well, who are part of the entities that support the arts in the region of which we are situated, to try and make sure that all these spheres of government do support the need for the Market Theatre, the need for the cultural offering of that Newtown precinct in order for it to continue to grow. And would like the portfolio committee, when it engages with those various levels of government, to always emphasize the harmony at which we need to be doing our work. I also want to raise the issue of council remuneration, and I'm really raising it so much so for our predecessor, or should I say our previous speakers. The DAC entities, Madam Chair, Chief Whip, and the honorable members, are not paid fairly. They're not being paid right. They're not being paid for the work that they do. That's the long and short of it. and I think appeals are going to fall on deaf ears. And sometimes when you see some of the entities struggle with compliance, and when I saw the attendance register of the previous council, it's not surprising to me. I find when I have to do work with my council, I have to use other means, you know, in order to get them to comply, in order to get them to do things. Yes, they love the institution, but from an incentive point of view, it's zero, outside the passion that they have for the arts. The council remuneration is disconnected to the realities of the work we do. And we can, it's not a charitable organization. We're dealing with state money, and the CEO and the CFO that sit here, we didn't ask them to do this job out of the goodness of their hearts. We pay them decent salaries. It's not enough, we know, but we still pay them decent salaries. But it's so strange that council members that are the accounting authorities get paid something that doesn't make sense. Just doesn't make sense. For me to be here today, it just doesn't make sense, the numbers. Just doesn't make sense. And I think as you continue to have members of council expiring by the term of office, you will start attracting poor quality of people. And the people who would come in and work with you in terms of the entities, they will start meddling in the operations because there's nowhere else they can find compensation. And then you will start finding what the Madam Chair was responding to earlier on, to say management and council acting against each other. And in some of our DAC institutions, you already see that. And at the core of it, there is no fair compensation for the skills provided and the work that is being done. And I think the portfolio committee with the DAC and through the ministry, they need to look at that. And they need to look at that quite fairly and quite efficiently as well. It can't be postponed indefinitely. I want to also go back to our change in strategy. We had a change in strategy. We just had a strat plan on the 30th of September at our new heritage offices at the Windebrow. Excuse me. And you would see next to me, we have a new CEO, and we took a decision that we want to bring the Market Theatre back to its both glory days and into the future of artistic excellence, where the conversation of all things artistic and all things cultural happen at the Market Theatre. And in terms of our production and the work that we do, we continue to be the center of that universe. And through Ishmael and doing that type of strategic insight into advocacy work, we have employed him to lead us in that direction and also to make sure that the Market Theatre still occupies that special role that it has always occupied pre-democracy and in the early onset of democracy. We're looking forward to the next 40 years of robust artistic engagement. We're looking forward to engaging with the white paper and all things that affect our industry. We will be a nuisance to those who don't want us to comment, but will be a pleasure to those who want our input and views in terms of making sure that we work together and we want to make the artistic space a very great place. And I must also commend partially the Department of Arts and Culture. When I say partially, I say this with the greatest of respect. When we ask them for things, they do respond to us. But when we want for more, when we want to be better and want to be great, we tend not to get support there. And we just ask that the model of institutions that do well should be changed. You cannot give attention to institutions that only do bad. If we want to do better and do more than our minimum mandate, I think that too should also receive the attention that it deserves. You hear so many times, having an unqualified audit report is good, but it's basic. It's good, but it's basic. What we are there to do is to have the cultural output, the artistic output, and the audit report will not show you that. And sometimes as the organization that we are and the way that we imagine ourselves into the future, we are often stranded, we are often unsupported. And I would like to call on the colleagues at DAC just to we are a unique baby in a way. You know, we want more, we demand more. I know we would want all your budget, but we won't get it, we accept that. But I think it's important that we get supported to do what other international organizations do, which is what we think of ourselves, but premised in South Africa and premised in the continent of Africa. we are a great institution, and sometimes the support that equals to that is sometimes lacking because we don't have problems. And I think that I would encourage the PC and encourage the DAC to always give us that support, even if it's above and beyond. We are a special entity, and I think we'd like to remain in that level of caliber as well. And then the fourth part, I'm almost done. The last part, Madam Chair, is this one. The issue of re-rating. Our budget is 29 million rand. I know we showed you numbers that are bigger than that. Capital Works program, the land and buildings that we acquired, which is good and we are grateful for. I think it's time now the Market Theatre's budget is re-rated. We've been at this small amount that we are getting as an allocation, growing at CPIX every year. It's not enough. And would encourage that people can look at what we're doing and see if a re-rating on our budget may perhaps make us do a better thing. And we thank you for your attention and your commitment.
Thank you very much. Unfortunately, as the portfolio committee, we don't have a brass penny. We don't have money as the portfolio committee. So all this that has to do with money needs to be discussed with the Department of Arts and Culture. Tina Asnayo, it's a big onion ghost. We don't have money. But just to say that in our last oversight visit to Market Theatre, we were really impressed and inspired by the manner in which things were done, and looking at the Windy Brow and the amalgamation with Market Theatre Foundation, we were really impressed. When we visit an organization, we meet with the lower of the lowest. And that's what we did there. And we spoke to each and every person. I mean, we take our hat off for the former CEO. I think she has done a wonderful job in amalgamating these two institutions. Because what you find in some of these entities is that you find management running the show alone, leaving behind the workers. So there we would ask those that were from Windy Brow, and they would tell you straight that we've been consulted right through the process. And I think the former CEO did a wonderful, wonderful job. And as the portfolio committee, we take our hats off for him. The issue of the fruitless and wasteful expenditure that is taking a hike, as it was reported to us by Auditor General, was one of the issues that I was going to ask about. That your fruitless and wasteful expenditure is showing signs of going up, but you have explained that, because I was really, it was really attracting attention. And also, yes, you are doing, I think it's good, because as the portfolio committee, the decision that we took, that we need, when inviting entities, we invite an entity that is doing well, and we invite an entity that is still struggling, so that they can be able to, there can be cross-pollination of ideas, and they can be able to learn from the other. I'm hoping Sundus is looking at this and learning some of the things that have been presented by the Market Theatre Foundation. These issues, as I said earlier, 2014 was the deadline for clean audits. By 2014, every department and every entity was supposed to have a clean audit. And this is something that should be in our sight. We shouldn't lose sight of that.
as we are doing our work. I think it's very important that as we do our work, we take that into cognizance. I'm now going to allow members to ask questions. And one other thing that, the comment that I have, is that as I said earlier, as the portfolio committee, we don't want to hear soon or, you know, at the earliest convenience. We don't want those terms. If you are, you have to do something, tell us when you are going to do it. And if you're going to get someone to take over in the audit committee, tell us when you're going to get that somebody, so that we are able to keep you on track, to say this is when you said you're going to do this. So I think it's important for us as the portfolio committee to know exactly, so that when we meet again, because I think we were going to meet very soon, and this is why we want to know the date. We're going to meet very soon, sooner than you think, and we want to know what would be happening in that area. I think that is really important. The manner in which you have handled the Windybrow issue. One other thing, I think this question goes to the department. Has the money followed the function? Have the funds followed the function? Because many a time you are given more responsibility and you not getting what you are supposed to get, and which puts the person who has taken the responsibility in a spot. So I think the department will have to answer that one. I don't want to hear from market yet. I want to hear from the department if the funds have followed function in full. Because sometimes they may follow, but the department may feel that we need to know if it is happening in full. Honorable members, it's your opportunity to make comments and ask questions.
Let me start by saying, you know, a good thing that deserves credit, you must give. And I think the market theater is doing very well. And I think even the new baby will look after him very well. The things I want them to check and take note of is the issue of, from the audit findings, the issue of non-compliance with procurement. You know that thing. Is very, very, very important. Because once you deviate from the policy, you are opening a room for the thieves to steal. So be careful on that one. Don't ever repeat that kind of finding in the end. Because all this list we are going to go through in the coming year, and then we are going to say why this is coming again, why this. The second one is the petty cash. Still the same, it's still attracting the same, because that is hard cash, and then it needs to be monitored and looked after. And again, I see the deviation from the the names were not published on the website, and then that is also a very important thing that he was looked after. This is the one I was looking for. The IT product that was bought, and not through the CETA supply listing. Why did you buy it? because you must go through the list. It can be a little product, but it's an ugly finding. It's an ugly finding. Once you ignore or you undermine the list as per policy, and then you go buy from Mutega, how do you relate with Mutega? Those are the things that the public will ask. How did it happen? So please take note of those things, because we don't want to go through them next year again. Overall, Chairperson, I think I'm very happy with how they are doing. And then I think Isundus and other entities will also learn from them. The issue of money is, of course, we don't have money. And the other thing, even if we had money, we don't know what they are talking about. Because they never said, I'm getting paid $2 or whatever. So you can't try to help what you don't know. So, but that the dependent must be there. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Honorable Sotko.
Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity. And I want to thank the Council Chair and the entity for this glowing report. One thing that struck me, which other people will not really, other entities will not really appreciate, what the Chair said, having a qualified audit is good, but it's basic. Well, others never even come close to that basic. So maybe some of them are here now. Maybe they can take heed from that. It is basic to get a unqualified report. But what you find in the presentation speaks directly to governance issues. Having said that, I'm referring specifically to the attendance of the council meetings, people being diligent in that. If that happens at the top, it does filter down. However, what is also important then is with regard to the chair, what the chair mentioned about the funding, or it's not actually a salary that they're getting paid, it's an honorarium. I think that it's important then that that DAC should really benchmark such honorariums in terms of the organization. I know I'm not sure if they are finished with the funding model for all the entities, and I would assume it would also then benchmark honorarium to council members. I just want to highlight two things. One is the with reference to no tax incentives for funders. Now, I'm not sure how the tax regime works. Do you apply, maybe Dec will answer or the chair will answer, does the entity apply to SARS so that the funders can get exemption? I don't know how this works, and maybe in the responses we could get some clarity on that. I've been to the Windy Brow Theatre in its heyday. I've seen it, and it's not so good day about a year or two ago. And I'm glad to see that it is restored to its former glory. However, both the Windy Brow Theatre and the Market Theatre do operate in unsafe. The environment is not really quite a very safe environment. So the only thing that I would suggest is that funding may be made available for increase in security. Alternatively, to speak to the city fathers to see how they can upgrade the environment in terms of businesses, establishment of business around around that area. The following is a question in terms of again, I think the acting DG can enlighten me on that. Is the when with reference to legal costs of incurred or brought on by the Windy Brow Theatre, I just want to find out to what extent has the department, to what extent have they managed to recuperate the irregular expenditures of the previous management. Because if that is recuperated, I don't know where does it go back to their coffers, does it, will it go back to Windy Brow to help pay for the expenses, because they need to pay for that. Chair, that's the only comment that I would like to make in this regard.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member.
Just one. I just want to understand on the audit finding with regard to discrepancies between the annual report and the quarter report. How can you allow that with an institution with such a very good capacity and a very silly mistake like this?
Thank you, Honourable Member. Are there any other questions or comments? Do you have any questions on the presentation?
No, Chief.
Because I believe even if you were not here, from our oversight, you still have memories of the things that we saw there.
Chair, no, I think we are noting the issues that were raised by the Chair. We've been talking about this lottery issue in our last meeting. We've raised quite a few concerns, and I think our view is that we'll have to take it up with the relevant portfolios, including the ministries responsible, including lottery itself. And we are taking the note, when you heard my comment earlier on when I spoke to the board, that indeed you pay with your lives for the organization. We are not saying it and praying that you keep your spirits up, and we believe that God blesses you and you continue to sacrifice for life. We are saying it because we know that we cannot compare you with the rest. And we are not raising it lightly. We've raised it already with the department. They know our position about it. And they told us that, you know, their white paper proceedings will, amongst others, address those problems. So we are keeping it in our radar screen. But just coming back to the other issues, we really appreciate the input of this entity to our landscape and for your intervention in rescuing Windy Brow. I mean, the fact that we're able to pull that thing from the shack it was to where it is now can only be attributed to your acumen, your precision in doing your work. And I think, and as the chair has indicated, packaging you with Umsunduzi was deliberate. I know they're pulling up their socks, but we believe that good cannot be better if best is possible. So we can only expect the best from all of ourselves. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can we have responses to the question?
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'm going to ask my team to start with the technical questions.
Madam Chair, if I could take the financial ones, and then each one can do the rest. The first item that I'd like to deal with is
the vacancy on the audit committee. As I've mentioned, the chairman, the new chairman, has already been appointed, and in this week, the other audit committee members are interviewing about six other candidates for the position, and I think it's safe to say that by the November meeting, which is our next meeting, we will have the next chair. So there wouldn't be even a gap between meetings without that position being filled. The second item, which Jack will also reply on, is yes, the Windygraph funds did follow the function. We had a meeting with Treasury, and of course they will be looking for some savings and some efficiencies, and that's what we're worried about, how much that efficiency is going to be. But we had already confirmation that the funds did follow the function.
On the issue of the legal costs that you talked something written from the department?
Yes, we've got something written from the department, luckily. Thank you, Madam Chair. The audit finding on non-compliance with procurement, I share the members' concern. We are as concerned because we really try our utmost. I feel very confident that we have not had any questions of fraud or corruption, and we've been able to justify to our council, who will not take things just on face value, or the matters that we have had. But I do share your concern there. The petty cash, I know it's cash, and in this case, I want to make it clear, it's the amount was increased from 7 to 10, and we simply had to adjust the policy, not that there was any other problem with that. Names of bidders that have not been published, that's of course already rectified. It's easy to rectify, so we have been doing that ever since. The IT, new acquisitions or items that we purchased, we did buy through the central supply database list. They are all registered on there. We just did not make use of CETA themselves. The suppliers that we are using are on Treasury database, and we do follow the proper procedure of three quotes or public tender or whatever it is that we have to do. And then the problem between the quarterly reports and the annual reports, specific on key performance areas, we are working hard on that at the moment. The reason for the problem is that with key performance areas, we have every manager needing to submit their information. And most of our managers are artists, so that's where the problem came. It's not a financial function, it is the operations of the organization. But we also had in the first quarter of this year internal audit coming to assist, and it's more of a training function than anything else. So we hopefully have resolved that now.
On the issue of policies, the AG has you on yellow, you're not green on the issue of what is it exactly?
Specifically, the PT cash was one, because we had a float that was more than the policy, and we had to update the policy. That was the biggest one that was in intervention on the policy.
With regard to the question about checks and centres, that is largely legislative as well, in that it's only organisations that are registered as Section 18, educational benefit organisations, can benefit from checks and centres. Cultural institutions do not. However, we are in discussions around investigating how some of our educational programming could possibly be structured slightly differently, with, of course, all governance procedures put in place. We are in the process of just launching our alumni program, which is a significantly large number of graduates from the Market Theatre Laboratory, Market Theatre Photo Workshop, and whether they could structure some kind of a forum or whatever that could register slightly differently, with benefits coming back towards programming and supporting bursary schemes and so forth within our two training institutions. But it's largely legislative that prevents us from benefiting from tax benefits.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And maybe to thank the members of the committee for their questions, one of the last two things that I would like to mention, having regard to all the comments that have been made, which we take seriously. One of the things to try and do beyond the scope of our core competency, next week, Monday, we are hosting the South Africa, all South Africa's ambassadors to the world, all the head of missions, at the Market Theatre. We will be showcasing a production called the June 16 Monologues, which is the monologues that combine both June 16 as well as the 40th anniversary of the Market Theatre. One of the big aims for us to do that is that we want all our missions around the world to use the Market Theatre for cultural diplomacy. Whatever they want to do in their respective posts, they come to us so that we can curate the work that they do and also send the message around the world in what South Africa's artistic cultural deposits are about, which is also furthering the department's mandate to create social cohesion and create friends of the country around the world. And I think that was worth mentioning so far as to boost the work that we are doing over and above the compliance that we are making sure that it's done. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So,
Chair,
does it include the FISMAS for?
Okay, I think you have responded to all the questions and some of the comments that have been made. But we, as the portfolio committee, we want you to keep doing the good work. We know that it's not easy, and as I always say, never promised us that things are going to be easy. But the passion with which you do your job, I think, is making the portfolio committee really, it's assuring us that the Market Theatre is in good hands, and we're hoping that you get into that clean audit. And all these areas with the Windy Bro are going to be sorted out, because I think it's the issue of taking this institution with all the liabilities. So it has drawn you back a bit, but the manner in which it was handled is something that really made us, you know, we were not surprised, but we appreciated the manner it was handled, especially when it comes to those people that are workers, were working within Windy Bro. The manner in which it was done, it was so humane. They were involved, they were consulted. So it made us really appreciate the work that you're doing. Want to thank you very much, and we, as the portfolio committee, we wish you all the best, and we know you need it. We are stepping off the presentation, and we'll, honourable members, will only break for 15 minutes, and then we'll come back to the department. Honourable members, you are invited to lunch, first event, and this is